This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, here we are, 7 o'clock. What, are y'all excited?
It sounded funky.
It seemed funky here. Here we are, 7 o'clock. It's our first show of 2014. We've all managed.
I did not intend to live this long. I just want to go on record.
Well, you did wear your, you've given it all up. What do you call that thing?
I officially gave up sweatshirt. Yeah.
Thinking that we are in the Arctic Vortex, which we are not in Phoenix so much as Chicago. And your homeland of Niagara Falls is flooding.
It's doing everything. They're in hell. Like, it's every other, they were cutting to all these news stories. I'm like, there's a real news story on the other side of that fucking lake you're standing there next to. And Lake Erie froze over, basically overnight. Like, for all intents and purposes, it froze over during the first part of the shitstorm that happened starting like a week ago. So they got snow. And then the lake froze during that deep freeze yesterday.
The Arctic Vortex.
The Arctic Vortex came down, pretty much froze the lake, and then the snow falls on the lake because now it's a shelf.
Yes.
It doesn't dissolve in the water. Right. So now you've got the wind blowing the snow off the lake.
That
it doesn't have
so
to be
bad.
Snowing. The snow is just coming off the table that it's been sitting on.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the ice is being forced by the wind down the Niagara River, where the Niagara River comes to a nice little pretty part called the Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a little island that my sister lives in that's blocking it up, and now the ice is backed up and can't get past because it's so cold. So the water's backing up, and we always laugh that Niagara Falls can never flood because we have a drain.
Yeah, well,
at
no.
the end of the street.
Now,
so that, oops. The drain just backed up. Like, somebody washed their fucking hair. And so I'm like, it's up right near my my parents' house. It's flooding, and I'm like, flooding?
It's not the actual fall.
So the river is coming.
You think we can get her to send us some pictures?
Oh, they're going to work on it.
I just am trying to picture the logistics of all of this.
It's too
I'm
going
to need to Google.
I'll do a map for
you. Hell has frozen over that.
Oh, it literally has. But so my friend, they're trapped.
Touché.
Like, they've closed down the New York State Thruway from, and we live in Western New York, not upstate New York. That's a very pretty place. We live in the armpit. But we're in Western New York, and they've closed down the Thruway, the New York State Thruway, from Buffalo to Erie, Pennsylvania, and then they closed it down going east. So even if you wanted to leave that hellhole, they have like a Boston stay in place. Like, it's, you're done. Mm. The thruways are closed. The airport's closed. Like,
Indianapolis shut down entirely.
Yeah.
And in Michigan, I think some part of Michigan, I watched footage on the nightly news tonight of, this is terrifying, and thank God the driver was okay.
Oh, yeah, coming off
the
overpass.
Oh, my God. Black ice. Over a bridge, like over an overpass. He flew off of it and probably landed in a whole lot of snow.
No, he landed in a pond. But luckily the pond had frozen.
Oh my
and
God.
He lived. But he comes off of.
Oh, like it is the most terrifying video.
Like, I think of the 10, you know, the 7th Street bridge over the 10, but considerably higher, you could tell.
Yeah.
And he just goes over,
like a General Lee.
Black ice. And he just slid, and he literally was like, boo!
And they have it all on camera. He
and they showed
the
it on the nightly news.
And he goes
over
straight,
and
well,
over
it looks like he goes straight
over
into the ground, but it's a hill into a pond that luckily the polar vortex had frozen. So the car just slid across, and he's fine.
Completely fine. Walked away.
Yes.
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but that would
oh
be
my God, no,
up
it's
to see.
Watch the video.
It terrified the hell out of you as you were doing it. Yes.
I already have PTSD, and I can't even imagine if Chitty Chitty Bang Bang really happened.
And I also, and I don't know if you actually meant this or knew this when you said this, Marnie, but hell has actually frozen over.
Like a United States something?
Town of Hell, Michigan.
There was, I had heard
and
something
it's so
about
funny.
That. I wasn't sure if there was a picture. That's awesome.
Yeah, that it has. Yeah. And one of the newscasts, I think out there.
We are 3 minutes in and I've lost complete control of anything to do with this show.
Okay. One of the newscasts out there.
We'll get right back to you.
Did a, they made an ice desk.
You asked.
At the news station. And then they made the really clever joke that can't put anyone in the hot seat when they're at the ice desk.
Oh.
Well played.
Very clever.
I just have to add one last thing.
Shit, we got 3 hours to go.
And I'm done. Just quiet as a church bell for the rest of the show.
2 hours and 50 minutes.
Now, you all know that I always bitch about the Sabres and how much I've hated them my entire life because they used to take Cheers
Buffalo
off the air
Sabres.
When it was the lowest rated show on TV to play Sabres games.
Right.
I hate them.
Yeah. Clayton, do you know who they are?
I have no idea.
It's the
Buffalo
hockey.
Sabres.
It's Buffalo's hockey
Buffalo?
Team. Buffalo's hockey team.
Okay.
And the entire town is, I'm going to use this word correctly, retarded for the Buffalo Sabres.
Okay.
You know what? How bad the weather was? They canceled a Sabres game tonight.
Oh, that's bad.
And you know that people were like, oh, I was going to walk there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were.
Like, those fuckers were like, well, at least there's a hockey game tonight.
Can I tell you, Kelly's cousin actually made a handsome little side business living off of the Sabres and hockey in general.
She have a hot dog cart?
Like t-shirts. Like, I don't know. Built a t-shirt business around the Sabres.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's fair.
Yeah, they're fucking crazy.
Yeah, good for her.
Crazy. Bless
well,
her.
Yeah, good on her. Look at the good she does.
Good on ya.
Good on ya.
All right, see, I'm done.
Well, before I lost control of the show, welcome. It is our 88th show. It's our first show of 2014. Everything seems to be going well. We came back after a two-week hiatus. We've got Katie June, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and myself. And I think we are ready to attack 2014 with the vengeance. And I would like to welcome, though I'm not fully into the fold, I haven't drank all the Kool-Aid, Marnie has a new electronic device. So she's now...
I don't know what to do with myself.
You're further in... You're almost... You're as deep as you can get.
And she doesn't even know the joy that's coming.
And I eat like 5 apples a day along with all this, so...
Because I know
you're in.
So I know Katie and Al have been on the Apple train for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. The phone and the computer, right. And iPads at home.
And now you're into it because Mom and Elaine got you that.
Yeah.
And I'm iPad, Apple TV, and phone, but I can't do the they call them their computers because they just frustrate me.
Oh, I think they're so wonderful.
They're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. Yeah. There is nothing intuitive or user-friendly about them.
To me, there's not.
It's a terrible piece of shit. But the fact that they all talk to each other. And the other day, Harrison was texting me from her iPad. And so she was using...
While sitting on the couch in his house while he was... Yeah.
Not a true story, but it's fun.
It could happen.
And I got nervous because the text came through to my computer, which had never happened before. And I didn't realize that she had picked, like, from where I can email you if you have an Apple product I can text message you from my iPad. Well, all of a sudden, the computer got in on it, and I got all paranoid. I'm like,
what the fuck is going on?
No, I was like, can you see me? And she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, well, I don't know how this is happening without FaceTime. Like, I know I can FaceTime from this, but I don't understand what's happening. Can you see me? Because I don't have clothes on currently. So I need to know how much further this conversation is going to go on.
That makes me feel a lot better knowing that you concerned about that. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Oh, no, I was like, no, hold on. This is private time.
Can you FaceTime through Apple TV?
No, not through Apple TV. As I understand, no. Only through... you can't because there's no camera. It's only on a phone or iPad on a wireless network. You both... Not the same one. As long as you both are on wireless networks.
Yes.
For example, Matt and I, because obviously he now lives in San Diego. So we've been doing some troubleshooting stuff at the server farm here in Phoenix for Edge Studios. The nice thing is I'm on a Wi-Fi. He's on a Wi-Fi. I literally, we FaceTime and I can hold my phone up and show him what I'm looking at.
Right.
And he can tell me exactly, move this wire, do this.
It's change. So cool.
It's fast. It's crazy. It's so helpful. It's wonderful.
They will start to use that in healthcare soon because as I tell people all the time, even poor people have phones. But what you would do is you would just say, like, because now the big goal is keep everybody out of the emergency room. Like, do not go to the emergency room. There has got to be an alternative that's cheaper. So what they'll do is you'll say, like, this is my knee or this is this bite that I have.
And show
it on the
them.
Phone. Somebody can look at it and be like, no, that's not a bite. You just scratched yourself too hard. Or like, yes, that knee is infected or... You know,
look at this giant open wound on my leg. Is this important?
Right. Somebody who's recently had surgery says, is this a concern? Do I need to come into the emergency room? They'll be like, no, that's normal. Or they'll say, oh, yeah, that's a hot fucking infection. Get thee to a hospital.
Wow. So there will be lines that you can just call or you call your own doctor? Or?
Yeah, it's called interventionist. And it's the intervention is not to get you better. It's to keep you out of the fucking emergency room.
To intervene between you coming to us. And
right. Yeah. We want anything that can possibly happen to keep human beings out of emergency rooms is the goal of all medicine.
Isn't that a good way to make money?
Right. But now with Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, that is one of the deals, is that you will stay well enough and not and only go to a – you'll go to a
if
doctor
you really
or
need
an
it.
Urgent care. You will not look at an emergency room as your primary care.
Well, which I've never done. It's weird to me.
It's I know it's low income.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the
– because you've had – that's a sign that you've had insurance. Yeah.
I don't know that you've – if any of you have seen the commercials, but it's certainly not a stretch of the imagination. At one point it would have been, but you know, there's a commercial that shows some guy riding a bike, and based on the helmet that he was wearing – he had an accident. The helmet dispatched an ambulance. The ambulance finds him based on GPS. He's in the ambulance, and then he and or the paramedics are talking to the hospital. They figure out which hospital to go to based on who's staffed, who's there, where they had to be. Wow. All of that. And it's
amazing.
I think it's a Cisco networking
thing.
Yeah,
that's on that Cisco commercial.
But the point is, all these smart devices we have can tell you where you are, what you're doing, you know, can give you vital stats if you've got like one of those a heart pace straps, whatever, on. All those heart rates thing. And they talk, and you can get a full, not a diagnosis, but the hospital can prep better.
Sure.
As you're inbound, if they know really what's going on, as opposed to his temperature's this, his blood pressure's this, he may have the. Right. They can literally talk to the ETM, is it EMTs?
EMTs yeah.
and the patient on the way. I just think that's amazing cool. What you can all do. Aside from being able to find your phone if it gets stolen or or you know, any other thing that you need to find. That and like I said, fantastic. To me, right now in my world, aside from tracking down the phone when it was stolen. The thing that I love is on and Marnie, you may find this because does your mom doesn't have an iPhone yet?
She's getting one.
Soon as she gets that, what you're going to do is what I did with my mom. You're going to do the Find Friends and you're going to synchronize her phone and your phone.
Yep.
So that at any time, wherever her phone is, which is 90% of the time going to be where she is, you know exactly where she is.
Oh.
And I love that because if something should ever happen,
absolutely.
Mom's broke down, mom has a flat tire.
Yeah.
I can literally look on my phone. It'll tell me exactly.
Isn't that what you used with Al? Like as far as Deer Valley, remember when you hit the?
No, he
that was
called
dropping
me.
A pin.
No, I just called to say where I was because I'm like I'm on this back road and
I think we talked about it at that point.
Yeah,
something.
No,
okay,
but,
no, and I thought about it too because I was like I ended up on a back road in a wash.
Yeah,
I'm
freaking
out
from
traffic,
but if I go off the road, no one's going to find me.
Yep.
And
I
don't know how much deeper.
But no,
fucking
but that is wonderful, and I mean I have it for Matt. Which I don't really need much in San Diego, but it does help, especially, it sounds trivial, but if you're on a job site and you don't know where somebody is, you can literally pull up a map and walk to them or where their phone is, depending on where they are. Right. But the thing with my mom and me, it's like, I look at it as a safety thing.
Yeah.
If she ever breaks down or something happens or whatever, as long as she's got that phone on her person somewhere
and during the zombie apocalypse, that's
gonna be good. But also, if you can't get a hold of her, like if something, and totally, this is not like a traumatic thing. But I was at a coffee meeting today, and we had never met in person, and we hadn't seen a picture. No, it wasn't. But I'm saying,
a white girl problem.
I walked in, and I sat for 20 minutes. Like we were both kind of looking around Lux, which has got a lot of different rooms.
It sounds like
a
hookup more than what.
No,
okay.
And she was not answering her phone. She had it with her, but it was turned off and in her bag. Or whatever. Again, I realize this is not traumatic, but that might be cool. If you could, I mean, I guess we would have had to been connected.
If you're having a meeting, I see you right there. Well, moreover,
I'm sitting here. Where are you?
If you're having a meeting with somebody and they're dumb enough to turn their phone off before she's even met you,
yeah, I guess that's true.
Question who you're having meetings with. I think that would be.
I already know, and it's sensible.
Yes. Yeah. Once you link up, then you can shut your phone off and do whatever you do at meetings.
It's sensible.
Tyler would like to say hello to you in Tennessee.
Tyler, what
weather are you suffering through, my friend? Let us know how cold or miserable it is. We already got a dissertation of how flooding in Niagara Falls works from Al. I think the rest of us, now obviously Marnie comes from the Twin City area, so we know that there's going to be some people that are cold.
Real cold. Anything
bad that you know of?
No, actually, because they're too fucking cold to pick up their phones. I have a feeling. They're I can't even imagine.
No.
The people that I've spoken with are kind of stuck inside anyway. Okay. So they've just said, you know, according to the temperatures, and it feels a little breezy inside, but otherwise.
I was surprised to hear on CNN this afternoon, amidst other things, CNN's always on. Yeah. News is always on in the background of my life. But what I heard today, and I was astounded, they gave a number, and I missed it, how many deaths had been attributed to this winter blast.
I want to say 13.
But something like that. Mind. But something like, X amount were due to car accidents, whatever, and a few actually were due to freezing to death.
Sure.
And I cannot imagine. I know how it feels when my hands just get cold and I feel like I just want to chop fingers off because they're cold.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. The freezing to death. I just can't. Where are these people? Were they homeless outside?
They may have been.
They may have been.
Or if you get stalled in a car. I mean, you
right,
stalled
true.
Car.
And that's what happens. Stalled
about,
cars all over.
But what about, because the same thing happens in, you know, New York again, when they have heat waves in the summer and there are people
dying
because of the heat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really
people
nuts.
People in Chicago and in the Midwest,
they're
not used to.
They're the opposite of us. We're never prepared for any kind of like real cold.
Sure.
They're not prepared for any kind
or
of real
rain.
Heat.
Yeah,
like the blizzard that's going on right now in Buffalo. It's the fourth one in 40 years. Like, literally, they had not declared a blizzard since 1993. Wow. And I guess who was there for that one?
You?
Me, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
Yeah,
but I just had to laugh. Like, that's how, like, this weather, it's so extreme that I'm like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, yeah, this is the fourth time Buffalo has used the word blizzard.
I don't know in my lifetime if I've ever been in what they call a blizzard. I don't know. And what is
blizzard of 77.
But what is the definition of blizzard?
It's where life ends. It just says like you're done. Like it's you're whited out. It's ice cold. The
black ice.
It's like a hurricane. Well, the black ice is that's any time.
No, but I mean it's there. But on top of the fact that you can't see a fucking thing.
If they say blizzard, the roads are done.
I'm gonna have to.
They could. It could be black. Black ice, it could be a dinosaur. You're not going to be on the road to see it because it's illegal.
I was down here in 91. And it's a dinosaur. 6 months after being that warning. Here, I went back to Minnesota. I had to move home. I had to go back a little bit.
Right.
And then the blizzard of 91, which was on Halloween of that year. And I just sat there thinking, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's when it has thunder. That's when you get like it's warm enough to have like thunder and lightning come at the blizzard. But a blizzard
is insane, it's
almost like a hurricane. The snow is coming and you get wind and you get zero visibility.
I think it was 29 or 31 inches of snow.
Yeah.
I love how simplified Google is when you look up the definition of blizzard.
A lot of snow.
A severe snowstorm with high winds and low visibility. No shit.
Yeah. Well, no, but it's
it seems like it's more than that.
Until you see, and we've seen it here with Haboobs now, when you see like the world disappear, and the one time I may have had a slight buzz, and I was...
That's possible.
It was a very rare time where I drove in the snow in Niagara Falls. I had somewhere to be, but I was...
I'm sure you did.
No, I think I had to pick up my mom or something or bring her somewhere. But I was driving down the main drag of Niagara Falls, and it was like the end of like – it was time to get off the road and call it a night. But the snow was falling, and it was like being in a snow globe, like – because the snow was coming down in one direction and I was driving in the other. If you ever watched like Star Trek where they hit warp speed, that's what it looked like. Right. And I was like, I had like maybe had a glass of wine or smoked something. And I just got to tell you, like, I was like, this is gorgeous. I'm like, I'm going to run into a pole because I can't
see anything.
It hits the
lights and you're mesmerized.
According
to Wikipedia, and we all know how accurate the free encyclopedia is, it says a blizzard is a severe storm characterized by strong, sustained winds of at least 35 miles an hour and lasting for prolonged periods of time. So the difference between snowstorms and blizzards is the wind, according to what this says.
Yeah, then you get that zero visibility. And honestly, I just laugh with her with black eyes. If they say blizzard in Buffalo, you're done. Like, there's no, but there's absolutely no one.
Right.
Because as soon as someone cancels a hockey game, then the entire town is
what you were saying earlier.
Last Saturday in Green Bay, they had the playoff football game in those temperatures. I mean, which is crazy.
Negative 20?
Yeah, and it wasn't like it was as cold as they thought it would be. Oh, my God.
And Kaepernick, am I saying that right?
Kaepernick. Uh-huh.
Kaepernick didn't wear long sleeves.
I had friends that were at the game.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Like, wow, you better throw a lot, fucker.
But I had friends that were there, and they were taking – there was a big panoramic picture, and it was really funny because there was basically nobody in the stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was very –
they were all inside.
It was very empty in the stadium.
Tyler said last night in Tennessee it got down to zero last night with a negative 15 wind chill. Snow and ice everywhere, and it was about 16 today, though, so it's kind of a tropical thing, I'm sure.
Well, now I'm typing it in here, but I can just ask. Tyler, is that due to the altitude? Like, you live in a mountainy part, right? Isn't it Pigeon Forge?
Is that where he is, Pigeon Forge? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure where that is in the altitude.
I want to say he's in the Smoky Mountains, am I right?
We'll find out moments
from
now.
So let us know. Why do I want to say Smoky Mountain? Blue Ridge Mountains.
Smoky Mountains was the moonshine that I brought in.
Yeah, but no, that's
well,
a real place.
I'm joking.
But
the moonshine.
Oh, are they both? Smoky somebody Google that. Are they both in Tennessee?
Keeps on falling.
If you're asking a geography question, look at it.
If only there was a way to look it up.
I don't
know.
God, I don't know.
I'll Google
those. Well, as we are 19 minutes into our show, and let's go around. It seems like it's been forever since we've done a show. It really does.
I was kind of anxious to get here.
2 weeks. I agree. Yeah. Now, this room has gone through a few incarnations since you were last here. Obviously, as you arrived, you realized that I've redone the shop.
Which looks fabulous.
When I disassembled the shop, everything came in here.
Okay.
So it's been slowly moving out, and I finished up this today as well as the shop's pretty much done. But so it's been a crazy couple of weeks in for a lot of things. People have died. There's been shows. Mm-hmm. Somebody very important to a lot of us in Phoenix here passed away. A lot of other things. But Katie, what is up with you the past 2 weeks?
Well,
it's only a 2.5 hour show left.
Merry Christmas.
Get those lights ready.
Happy New Year. No, Christmas was lovely. You know, Palmer is like just getting it. Really, getting it. We walked outside. We woke up in the morning and she went over to, we left Santa Christmas cookie and milk and it was, you know, eaten. And she said, "What happened? Oh my goodness." And we came around the corner and there were gifts and she said, "Oh my goodness." I mean, it was just the cutest thing in the world. Adorable. We videoed
hook, line, and sinker, buying all of it.
Edible.
Good for you.
I wanted to just eat her alive. Yeah. And if she's smart, she'll keep it up for a long time because Santa will keep coming and mommy will keep loving it.
She could be 40.
Santa will continue to show up.
You're loving the cookies, aren't you?
My sister wasn't happy with my oldest niece not believing in Santa Claus. And the younger one is a little bit behind, so she was still sold. But the older niece was starting to hedge, and my sister was like, "I'm enjoying this too much." So being the bitch that she is, my sister, she was like, "Think about it. Do you want to take a chance that you're wrong? I want you to think about it for a while. Think about this Santa question you're asking." And she seriously, like,
how old?
Law and ordered my niece at 11. And it even in telling the story when she was trying to make herself come out better, it was hysterical. Think about it. Think about your
Don't answer it.
I was
think
like,
about
did
it.
You have a bright light on like when you did this interrogation,
right?
I was 10 years older than my sister. So like when I was 13, 14, like I obviously at that point, you know, but my sister's only 3 and 4 and I'm going to keep the gig up because obviously Morgan believes. And as long as she believes and I continue to believe, Santa brings gifts and mom and dad bring gifts.
Yeah, there's
and
a
so
lot of
there's
presents
a whole
going
lot of
on.
Things going with Santa.
I, for some reason, think Morgan still believes it right now.
Probably.
I'm not sure.
She probably does. But we had a
doesn't
lot of fun.
Believe in Wham, but
we
she believes
all, we had all the families over. It was very lovely. We left the day after Christmas to go to Colorado to be with my family and ski, which was very nice. We have our New Year's. It happens the same every year. We ski all day, so we're completely friggin' exhausted. And we are... we celebrate at 10 p.m. with the East Coast. We do a champagne toast and some fireworks, and I'm in bed by 10:30. Happy New Year!
You're 55.
I really, truly. I'm ready to move out to Trilogy at Vistancia.
AARP call. My
New Year's story makes me sound like a whippersnapper now to that.
Yeah, it's literally happened
for
the last 4 years, and I love it. So that was it, and I'm busy at work on the HRC gala.
Nice.
We have our flag.
Yeah, it's good.
That's part of my 2 weeks of us being I made a little holder for the flag.
Thank you for that.
That took 2 weeks.
No, I said part of the 2 weeks.
And I want to take the last 2 seconds of my time here.
What are you doing?
I saw this funny. This was going around on Facebook. It said, "Phones for you." It shows someone digging themselves out, and they say, "If it's my family from Arizona, I don't want to talk."
Right. I thought that was cute.
That's been all over Facebook saying. Very funny.
Yes, very much. So, Marnie Lynn Ryer.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good.
She's taking notes. We're all in trouble.
We are. First of all, what the fuck happened? You were 6 minutes early to the show. And by the way, for those of you listening or viewing or all the ships at sea, Marnie wanted us to do a 3-shot, which I will show you if you're watching a video. She wanted us to do the 3-shot, which showed her not being here for the first 8 minutes. And then she wanted us to cut her and say, "Oh, she's been here the whole time." First, your aunt, you were early. Which I'm
early.
We have 51 more shows this year to do. I'm going to guess that this is the only one you're going to be early for.
It wasn't a fucking New Year's resolution. It was an accident.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Okay, let's just get clear on this. It was accidental.
Sure.
Like three good green lights between your house and here.
The thing is that I try to do that every week.
I know, but you fail
miserably.
Yeah.
And this, I just happened to succeed.
Okay, good. I just, well.
Well, you know, if you eventually.
What?
She's going to get it right. You know what I mean? Like, if you try that long, after
we'll
7-8 years, eventually you're going to. You're going to land.
I'm not going to promise.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. So I didn't know if maybe I
said he was being burgled because I didn't believe it.
Yeah. When I heard the door, I'm like, what the hell?
Well, and I accidentally slammed the damn thing. Like, I went to, and then it slammed, and I thought, well, there's an entrance.
Well, we know I'm here.
Yeah. Hi.
Got it.
So.
Aaron's good. Mom's good. You've got a new computer.
Good.
Life is all right.
Everything's good.
Very nice.
Yeah. Very calm. Very good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Alfred, now you gave me a heads up yesterday. Okay, two things. You made me laugh yesterday.
Okay.
Because you sent me a text. He sent me a text like, "Who the fuck knew there was a coffin store at Christown Mall?"
Oh. Yes, that was so... I thought, what?
My first question is,
you doing?
What are you doing in a mall?
Let alone that one. Yeah. Yeah.
His response was pay less shoes and a coffin.
Yeah. Well, it's good to plan ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I need new shoes and somewhere to die.
Or is there something that you want to tell us? Or is it the hail bop thing and you're gonna get you got new tennies?
I thought that was hell freezing over. Because you know I bought more cars and I bought a ton of shoes in my life.
That's true.
And they're miserable because I won't pay money for them because I'm convinced that Dennis Rodman is not paying the children that make his shoes. So I have them on today to break them in for my long stretch. They're like Alma. They're white with blue. Oh, yeah. They look like every other pair of shoes I've ever owned.
I like it. Champion shoes.
Yeah, good exactly. Shoes. Nurse shoes. Yeah. So just, it's been an exciting week of like me who was boycotting all holidays ended up with three Thanksgivings, Christmas guests, new furniture, redecorating, working like
we renovated
crazy
party,
person.
We reorganized some of your house.
Oh, we reorganized, and it's a whole new home.
He has a guest room and an office now. We didn't have to tear down a wall.
Good. And it's a amazing. Dresser in my very own bedroom, which as I wash clothes, I'm putting them in.
Now, have you noticed
that's new?
Oh, it's
I haven't had a dresser in my room because my bedroom furniture there was a divorce. It was an ugly thing. No, I'm just kidding. It just couldn't make the turn into my room.
But now you are
right in my guest room
with dresser.
Right, and my guest bed was just a mattress. It never had a frame, so we put the frame from my old set in with where the dresser could go. Armoire. And the nightstand. So now I have a dresser, not an armoire, because the armoire was inconvenient. So I have like big. It was just, it's gorgeous. Then people have been here visiting, like.
See, that's the problem.
That's good.
If you make it too inviting, they will come forever.
Yeah. Somebody's already booked a gig for next Thursday.
Mom does the same thing with her. She doesn't want to make it too comfy so the aunts don't come visit from back home. But, you know, just enough to.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, or that they'll stay for like a day or two.
Yeah, well, if we get Susie to move here forever, we'd be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he's got an office. So like the other day, he got all of his, you've got all your paperwork done.
All the adoption paperwork I did.
Oh my gosh.
Yesterday, because I knew I was working with one, ooh, I'm going to throw things. I was working with one solid day of like my own time. Like I don't have to be here. I wasn't just getting up from work. Like I could make a cup of coffee. I'd had a good night's sleep. It was time to like get the paperwork done, get to a notary, get it all notarized, get it mailed out in a proper envelope. And organized, and I was embarrassed. I mean, I had no intention of doing it before Christmas. This was not going to go through at Christmas. We weren't going to have a Christmas surprise.
Right.
But it was good. I had a lot of time for emotional healing, good mental health, and it was just all very matter of fact. But I was like, this is really easy to fill out and simple information. I pretty much wrote my name down on about 40 pieces of paper.
It was almost like buying a house. But you're buying your
keep signing your
name history.
And the notary was very interested in the story because the notary needs to know a little bit of
so
background
cute.
Information.
Why didn't you just come to me?
Huh?
Why didn't you just have me do it?
Oh, I didn't know you were a notary.
Well, I am.
We are learning all of this now.
Now we know.
Did I know this?
I don't know. I don't.
That is not something I would ever call friends and check with.
Why? Well, I mean, totally. I would have just done that.
I'll keep it in my back pocket for
now. I didn't realize that.
As will I.
I may have lots of things that we never. So Harrison is in the room. Hi Harrison.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
And she was the first person to enjoy the new guest lodge.
She was. And part of my past 2 weeks was I went to Al's and we watched, which you should watch every year. Regardless, if you have any interest in anybody in the panel that's receiving accolades, watch the Kennedy Center Honors.
Oh, shit. I wanted to watch that.
It's still at my house.
He saw it recorded.
Oh, good. Okay.
Herbie Hancock, Shirley MacLaine, I forget the opera singer's
Billy
name.
Billy Joel. I can't think of the opera Billy singer's
Joel.
Name.
Oh, and when Billy Joel. Okay, so let me just
Carlos
tell you.
Santana.
Oh, we did see a piece of that.
Billy Joel. Yeah. And then I came home and put Billy Joel only on iTunes and for one solid day listened to everything he ever recorded.
It's amazing.
And you forget how many wonderful things are part of it. But Harrison got to learn when she flies in how to do get to the airport, SkyTrain, light rail, me pick her up at Central and Camelback.
Nice.
Boom, boom, boom. She got all the way here.
Oh, easy. She Skyped with you?
No, SkyTrain.
Oh, I thought you said Skype.
We were texting.
Like, you got that girl to turn on the internet?
No.
I thought the same thing, and then I went, what?
No, she has the Betty Rubble here. Phone. She can't Skype. Right. But we text messaged her to here, to there, and then I have an app on the phone, which I need to make sure Al has. It's called Board on Time, so you know when the light rail is. Did you find it?
I didn't download it to my
phone.
I'm
going to download it right now.
I put it on this, but I knew what time my train was to go meet Donnie for lunch in Tempe after I dropped off Harrison at the airport.
Oh, good. Oh, you rendezvous with Donnie again.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I didn't know because I didn't get to link back up with him before he left, but we had texted a few times.
Very
he
nice.
Was very charming. Charming, charming, charming.
Yes.
Martina Arroyo. Arroyo is
phenomenal.
As Frank Camacho might say.
No, yeah. No, it's Sotomayor. I don't know what the hell, if she wants to be a Kardashian, but all of a sudden, and I can't think of her first name. What is Sotomayor's first name?
Sonia Sotomayor? Sotomayor?
Clearly not a Spanish person across from me.
her last name is June.
Sotomayor. What's her first name?
Sonia.
Is it Sonia Sotomayor?
Yeah, are we talking about the Supreme Court Justice?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's Sonia.
You're like, maybe I didn't say it with an
accent. I know,
accent,
I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's right.
Sotomayor. No, that's all right. But not only did she drop the ball at midnight at Times Square, but she introduced Martina Arroyo as a Kennedy Center honoree in a gown.
Wow.
Yes.
Epaulettes. For the love of Christ.
Can anyone help me with that? What the fuck is that?
Which what?
An epaulette.
On the shoulders.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Sometimes
I'm about to Google it.
I'm so glad that
sometimes they're like military. Sometimes like they're
shoulder
holding
pads?
The gown up. No. Fancy shoulder pads.
Okay.
On the military, they have the white.
Oh, right. Okay.
They come out, and then hers were holding her gown up. It's okay.
She didn't have boobs?
No, you know what I mean? Like, so
to
it's
hold
not
it up. Hold on, I'm going to find the dress.
It's not strapless, and it's not thin straps. It's a little bit more mature. You would wear it.
And adding to the things that you don't expect to see on the Kennedy Center honors.
Okay, she's not the black one.
When
right. And that is Sonia Sotomayor and Martina Arroyo. Well,
With the different presenters that came out on the Kennedy Center honors, when Bill O'Reilly walked out on stage, the first thing he said was, I'm surprised too.
But it was stolen by Sheila E. And I feel so bad because Harrison was visiting.
She's amazing, Sheila.
And we went through so many different things to watch. And I never showed her Sheila E.
Then you can't race it.
Google
so
it.
Now why? Tell me what she was on there.
She was
doing.
There
Carlos
for
Santana.
Carlos Santana. And the Carlos Santana tribute was phenomenal.
You want to talk about somebody who is incredibly humble and still... Yeah. And I'm assuming that this would be tried and true if you were to sit and talk to him anywhere in the world. Carlos Santana was so humbled by this acknowledgement of his tenure of being a performer and where he came from and all these people that came out. He was crying. It was quite emotional for him. But
I
phenomenal.
Love Carlos. I went through I went through a period in college when I was a big Carlos Santana fan.
Were you stoned half the time?
Mostly.
Okay.
Yeah. were we in Nantucket?
This is
college. Nantucket.
Oh, sorry.
Flagstaff.
Got it. Oh, similar, but different.
But wonderful.
And if you can find the part, and it's Sheila E. performing with, Steve Winwood.
Steve Winwood, who's saying.
Still got it.
Wow. Okay.
Don Henley came out for.
I love him.
Joel.
Billy Joel. And was phenomenal.
And I thought I thought he looked like Kenny Rogers if he wouldn't have fucked with his face.
Yeah.
He looked fantastic. Henley looked fantastic.
Oh, okay.
All white.
But looked similar?
Well, when he first walked, he's older.
White beard. Oh, okay, you know what I mean? Yeah. He's what Kenny Rogers kind of would have looked like without the scalpel.
Al, read the chat room and what Harrison just said to you, please.
She didn't get to see it. But I have to tell you, and I didn't know how I was going to... I feel better now.
Okay.
Where can I watch it? Unless I would come to your house?
He has it at home.
Yeah, if you can't find it on YouTube. Yeah.
Okay.
But I would just like to say, as I was telling him, I almost crashed my bike today because driving over here listening to Don Henley, and it turns out it's from the Hotel California album. I wasn't sure, but every song I've recorded is on this fucking iPad.
Right.
Pod,
whatever.
The Last Resort. I can't express again how beautiful his voice is and what a gorgeous song.
I had heard it. I just forgot about it.
So I didn't know how I was going to naturally segue into loving Don Henley, but you brought it up.
But there you go. In the midst of everything else that happened, I got to spend time with you. I didn't see them or her. Hung out with Mom. Mom came over and ran some errands with me. She wanted to also see. She bought me for Christmas, which was wonderful, the retro patio furniture that I have out back.
I need to see it. Fun.
And my new double hammock, which I tried out yesterday for the first time.
It's a double
wide hammock, so I've got all that.
Excuse me, I must go.
Looks very lovely.
So Mom came
That's
over.
A good gift.
Mom came over to help me or to see the shop and to see that, and then she ran some errands with me. Went to Stacy's. We helped out with we have a new District 4 city council person, Laura Pastor.
Yay.
So her after party after her inauguration was at Stacy's.
Was it really?
Yes, it was. And I was
that
there.
Is very cool.
Oddly, I was there for an entirely different reason and helped to set up for
that
the entire
is so
party.
Cool, actually.
So she was there and got set up for
Good
that.
Good for her.
But on a bummer note, I will round off this before we go into headlines.
Uh-oh.
We did lose a legendary performer in Phoenix on the morning.
Oh.
of New Year's Eve. For those of you who aren't from Phoenix, there is a performer that has been from Chicago. She was a Miss Gay, Reno Gay Rodeo Association queen. Miss Ebony passed away on the morning of New Year's Eve at 77 years old. Short illness, from what I understand. Cheers to her. Aww. Bless her.
Oh, yes.
She was just lovely.
Fantastic gal.
And happy New Year.
As we understand it, we're looking like it is with stomach cancer. She was kept it very quiet, actually. The past several months of her life, she would have tummy problems here and there and would miss the occasional show or had several doctor's appointments, but never let anybody know what was really going on. So we are unsure exactly, but we're kind of surmising that's what it is. This weekend, this Saturday, is the memorial service at the Alwyn House, which is, I believe, at 16th Street and Roosevelt.
Sounds right.
Here in downtown Phoenix. So there will be a ton of people there this weekend. Mom is going with me as well. But somebody I worked with for the entire 20 years that I've been in Phoenix. And one of my favorite things about her was that a lot of people used to make fun of Ebony and say that she didn't know the words to her songs. I always used to say that she knew all the words, just not where they went.
Yeah.
and she would always say, they did not come here to watch me move my mouth.
Yeah. I love that. She was right.
Ebony was quite the person. But I'm just glad that we've got all the holidays behind us. It's over. We're back to routine.
Me too.
Not streets aren't closed for parades and days off. And think, just I love routine.
I used to love the holidays, and I still do. But when this Monday came around, and we went to swim lessons and had normal day, I was like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus!
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you, Jesus!
Thank you, Jesus!"
And in the week of Christmas, I work 47 hours of overtime.
Oh, wow,
47.
That's
I don't think there's that many hours in a week. I don't even know how that's possible, but. I looked at my time card and it was like 47 hours. Yeah, that's going to be a happy Martin Luther King Day.
Wow.
That's why I'm on a budget till tomorrow.
Till midnight when your direct deposit comes in line. Well, I think we're going to start out with a little headline. So here we go on this first Tuesday in January. Oh, let's see if I can get through this without fucking it up, but I'm not.
Too late.
Right? Here we go, Marty. A masturbating man gets arrested after a taser proves ineffective.
I've missed Florida.
In Florida again. Katie June, how did I make it through 2013 without hearing of this fad?
GOP closet loses another hostage.
Don't say I didn't warn you if you like vanilla-flavored drinks.
A man slaps an airplane.
City folks just don't get it.
And hide-and-seek game turns into a night fair for one Utah family. This and much more coming right up. I love the fact that I never know where we're going with these. And Donnie thought we'd rehearsed all this, and we never rehearsed.
That was one of my favorite things.
Any of this.
Yeah, we rehearse in the 2 seconds we see her from that door to this door.
Hey, 6 minutes and 2 seconds today.
Well, that's true. That's very true. Well, this is not a Florida story. Beaverton, Oregon, oddly named city. A Beaverton man was arrested following a string of erratic outbursts that culminated in the suspect allegedly masturbating in a Salem Roadhouse. It took a taser and more than a dozen officers on the Sunday before Christmas.
Where'd they put the taser?
They didn't say that. On the Sunday before Christmas to subdue Andrew Frey inside Iggy's Bar and Grill on Portland Road Northeast in Marion County. The 37-year-old man later told authorities he had used methamphetamines the day before and had no recollection of the alleged wild behavior. The brouhaha began around 1 p.m. I did not type this. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't type any of these news stories. I steal all of them from the web. The brouhaha began around 1 p.m. when sheriff's deputies started receiving reports of a man acting bizarrely in the 9,000 block of Brook Lake Road. Well, the man identified as Frey had allegedly called a locksmith and later refused to pay the worker for his services. I don't know what he was trying to unlock. They didn't say that. After allegedly stiffing the locksmith, Frey wandered over to the Brooks Market, and then he refused to leave. An employee of the market had to eventually escort the alleged suspect off the property, who then made his way to Iggy's Bar and Grill. Well, that's when Frey's behavior allegedly took a turn for the worse. A bartender told authorities that Frey exposed his genitals and started masturbating right there at the bar. By the time
have a double.
Pour me a stiff one. By the time a Marion County deputy arrived on scene, Frey had moved from the bar to the bathroom, but reportedly had not stopped pleasuring himself. Well, it was year end. Frey allegedly resisted arrest, forcing a deputy to zap the suspect with a taser multiple times. The taser had no effect on Frey, who allegedly started fighting with the deputy. At least 15 police officers from Salem and the area rushed to the bar and were eventually able to subdue Mr. Frey.
This is really a story about the power of methamphetamine.
He was later charged with public indecency, resisting arrest, and theft.
Wow.
But the methamphetamines were just okay.
We're good.
Should we order a pizza?
Should we now?
I'm kind of hungry.
You are? Are really? You? Wow, you're hungry.
I literally just texted Kelly. I'm hungry. I want snacks.
You expect her to bring you food?
No, I just, it's just sharing.
Okay.
Nice.
We should order a pizza.
Okay.
If we order a pizza, we'll hear the doorbell.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay, Marnie.
KJ. How in the world did you allow me to get through 2013 without you becoming a part of this fad?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was thinking about pizza.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there is a woman who is...
I feel like I'm really I'm behind the times.
She's just something.
Well, you know Katie would give up on it about 15 minutes
in. No. But it's that 15 minutes okay. that I needed. Okay. Aaron and I were watching a TV show about 2013 and the things we wasted our time on.
Right.
It was called.
Mostly this show should have been on that.
Mostly that, right? Well, that's the personal show. But all of a sudden this came across and I have been kind of crazy about it for 5 days. We both have. And we've actually been performing this. There is a woman
You've
named
been performing.
Kind of. You're getting a good lead in.
Joanna Rohrbach has come up with 20 years ago or better, came up with this idea. And Clayton, I don't know what you have.
I just
saved,
have the one, that one little
that
clip
one
you
little
wanted.
Clip. So this, it's called prancercising.
Oh my Jesus.
God. These are things that the fact that you got, because I sat there and I thought, oh my God, did they talk? Was it 1 week when I wasn't there? Did this come up?
I want to say we.
Have. I feel like it did.
I think we did one. We touch on it somewhere.
All I know is how gay is that prancercise?
Oh.
And
the wig is horrible.
The wig is horrible. Her teeth lack so much.
Yes.
And she's, but she's so. Excited
about this? To do
yes,
it.
She's on Amazon selling prancercise, and for like, and it's too much for me. It's too much.
Look at this picture.
She has ankle weights. Yes, it's about horse. It's about being with a horse. So the New York Times. This was back in like May.
It's been around for a long time.
It recently introduced us all to gym aversive slackers. The 7-minute exercise routine. That will make us healthy. And it's about prancing like a horse.
Yes.
Well, she's got various prances she does.
Oh, she sure does. I like
the
swim.
Oh, she sure does.
Aaron likes the smack. That's all. Okay.
And I don't know
I'm not going any further with that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I just don't know if you, did you watch the video?
The whole thing.
Okay, but the video you sent me today, which I took the audio clip from.
The 5-minute one. That's where
the original exercise.
I don't know.
Anybody have any objections to green peppers, sweet peppers?
No.
We were literally ordering a pizza. How much camel toe is this bitch serving?
That's the hard
thing. The entire
it's like
thing.
Moose knuckle.
You're right, it is.
And so I figured we could put it on.
It's on our Facebook page.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm watching it right now.
The 5-minute one?
I don't even need the audio.
That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one I put on the Facebook page today, Katie.
The whole thing. We sat there. It was the best 5 minutes. You got to get the swim. Wait till she gets.
Oh, she's killing
and
me.
And the best part is when she takes the ankle weights off. And she rhymes everything. She takes the ankle weights off. Puts them on her, make them wrist weights now. And then she talks about how she's going to show you the shadow box, is what it's called.
Here's her little phrase.
God bless her.
Better to be punching into space than in your face.
It's better to be punching into space than in your face.
And my favorite part is
that's
that she's
good
like, then in your face.
Yeah, into the
and
camera.
Like, it's terrifying.
It is horrible.
Oh, she
it's
is.
Awesome.
But
she
look
was
at the,
on Tosh.0.
Well, she was.
Oh, she actually was on.
Oh, she was on.
God
and
bless
Tosh
her.
Was, he was dressed he, like her.
He was the. It's the Web Redemption.
Well, oh, so she came in and interviewed with him.
Yeah, it's the Web Redemption.
And all of a sudden, he looks at all the writers around the table, and he's like, "Now get up, or you're fired if you don't prancercise." And they all get up, and they have the same camel toe kind of pants. Oh my God!
Oh, she just got to the part in the video where she says, "Now let's pick it up.
Now let's pick it up." Right? Yeah. Yes. She
oh, that's
started,
the trot. Yeah, oh, look at her go. Trotting. That's the trotting.
Look at her go.
She was a social worker, so I'm a little afeared as to what could happen in my future.
But she also... No, I don't
How
think,
often are you afeared?
You can't tell me that this skinny woman, this is not somebody who has lost or keeps her weight off by
well,
doing
I
this.
I want to see the before picture.
She is the person that has never, ever had a weight problem in her whole life. Ever.
No, but maybe she's had a mental illness maybe, problem
for her whole life.
Time,
maybe
yeah.
in her vagina, because it's a little beefy, but...
That is a beefy
I
vagina.
Mean, for real.
That is a beefy.
That's a
I think that's our first beefy vagina comment on the show.
Well,
in
I'm
88
sorry.
Shows.
Look at that is. That is.
Al?
Now, Al? Is that possible?
Look at it.
Wow.
No.
No.
I'll just go with your say so.
Where are you
like
going,
Taco Bell Gordita.
Okay.
So anyway, she has the funky punky prancer size program as well, which about
yes,
killed
she
me.
Does.
And now that didn't take off.
Oh
real
yeah,
well.
She, now she's smacking her backstroking.
Oh, the yeah, and then when she does this thing, it makes it kills
oh,
me.
Oh, this is so fun! So I forgot about this.
She suits up in her tailored salmon jacket, her white
salmon.
Pants, pearls,
salmon.
And full makeup all over.
She
teeth
is.
Mainly.
She is completely
she
made
is
up.
She is fancy, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, her
fancy.
Quote. But don't be fooled, Rohrbach writes at YouTube. This is not to be confused with the fad Gangnam-style dance. This is the real deal, a fitness program for those serious about looking their best. Not like a fat kangaroo.
I told you, mental
it says, I'm not making
illness.
Any of this up, I swear.
Bless
you honestly,
heart.
You honestly, it was Daniel, it's Tosh.0 Web Redemption. Yep. Web Redemption. And when she was on there, I was like, where does he find them? All I kept saying was, where does he find them
where?
Every single week? The show could run
it's
forever.
I just found,
oh,
she was on
look
CNN.
At that.
I just found this video,
oh,
this
she was
image,
on the
which is really
with
great.
Horses.
Oh,
it's drawn
fantastic.
With horses. But the best part about this this drawing that someone did, this illustration,
does she
is
have
that
a camel
she
toe?
Has a giant beefy vagina right
beefy.
Here.
Why are you doing that?
It's the gordita of vaginas.
As a former Taco Bell employee, I was offended.
I'm just going to cancel this pizza because I may never eat solid food again.
I've literally got to. I've got to post this one picture on our Facebook page. Somebody actually had to draw the beefy vagina.
The one thing Taco Bell never wanted to be associated with was prancer sizing and a beefy gordita.
Well, who knows? Maybe they could all sell more. I don't know. I don't know. But it's ridiculous and quite mesmerizing, this whole thing.
I'm just a little shocked at how long it took you to find this story
Jesus.
Because it's been
idea.
Made fun of, what's his face? Anderson Cooper just about piddled himself.
Oh, that's true. I did. And that's been months ago.
That was months ago.
Because she was on CNN, yeah. And
yeah,
I did
no, he,
not
she
did.
Was the ridiculous. And he, could, sure. he couldn't stop. And you know, Aisha, whatever her name is.
Right.
No, Issa.
Issa? Yeah.
I can't think of what her name is. I'm confusing her with Aisha Taylor. But she just knows when the giggling's going to start and just works him like a cheap whore. And she was like, just watch. Oh. And ask questions. And he did the whole giggle fit thing.
Well, I apologize that you had known about it. I can't believe I made it through 2013 and didn't. We finished most of the tile. I have 7 tiles to finish laying at Aaron's house. And when we got done with her entire kitchen, we got up.
And prancer size.
Thank God for you.
And did you feel healthier?
You know, I'm not going to lie to you.
Slightly thinner.
I may have prancer sized once after a couple
That's my
drinks.
New favorite thing.
There's a chance
a drink or
that
a smoke.
I found it funny enough
sure.
to give it a whirl.
Well, and you have to. I mean, really.
My God. The best part is that someone actually asked her in an interview, are you embarrassed? And she says, embarrassed? They say Rohrbach, who's amassed this cult following, if my camel toe doesn't embarrass me, why would this?
Oh! Like, admitting you have a problem.
I'm not embarrassed at all.
Right, it's the first step.
Acknowledge you have a problem, but don't fix it.
No.
Why?
Acknowledge and move on.
I think the fact that John Mayer used her in a video is hysterical. He used her.
John Mayer
in,
probably fucked her. He's a man whore.
I'm a little. Oh, well,
I was getting a phone call.
Hello.
Beautiful.
I thought that was one of the funniest things. So, anyway, Joanna Rohrbach, God bless her.
She is something else.
Yeah, let everyone experience their inner horse. And I say that often. Experience your inner horse. And God. Katie June, I feel slightly
bad. Well, I'm actually sorry for that because I do believe we talked about it. You must have been gone.
I'm
but
terrified.
You and I can I'll prancerize with you.
I think it'd be so fun.
The wig is what kills me about that.
Well, and again, when you see the up close and the
I'm
things,
seeing it.
No. I mean the this other interview. And
oh, I saw a couple things. Like, I just saw the screenshots.
Did you get your Christmas cards from me?
I didn't get a Christmas card from you.
Well, that's probably why. They have it next door.
Because that's next door.
Yeah. But, yeah. And the reviews on Amazon are hysterical.
No. Oh.
The reviews, and I don't... I have them on here somewhere, but they do you
look,
are
like, do you think that when you look at this lady, like, is she like a smidge do?
She's touched.
Slow, maybe.
She's touched.
Oh, yeah, she's meant, like, there's...
The yeah. past.
The I mean, so then
she's,
it just,
she's equestrian. For sure.
She is. So then it just honestly makes me say, bless her heart. She's not hurting herself or anyone else.
No.
And God bless her, she's like trying to really...
I mean, that camel toe is probably a touch.
That has to turn a trend, absolutely. But I really, I just, oh my God.
The guy's got a unicorn helmet on.
I'm going to do this video and post this to our Facebook because this is fucking awesome.
Do that.
People in costumes.
Yeah. There were a lot of good, there's a lot of good stuff.
Well, let's continue on other people who may or may not be touched. On Christmas Day, right here in our very own backyard, the Phoenix Airport, otherwise known as Sky Harbor International, mm-hmm. a man jumped a fence and ran up to a landing Southwest Airlines jet and slapped it hard.
Oh.
Hard, right on the side of one of the engine housings, which is widely considered to be a metaphorical cheek of the airplane. It's not clear at this point if the man was demanding satisfaction. The man, who was homeless, 49-year-old, named Robert Bump, oddly his name is Bump, was spotted by airport officials who contacted the pilot and immediately asked the pilot to shut down the engine so as to not suck the man into them. Which, of course, if the minute he would have just been chopped up into a million bits. Bump was taken into custody by airport police and then later by the Phoenix police force, But the motives for his plane slapping are not really yet known fully. He did scale a 9-foot tall fence. Now, FAA regulations require only airports to have a 6-foot high fence, but Sky Harbor has a 8 and 9, so he well cleared a 9-foot barbed wire fence.
Oh, we should send to do this.
Yeah. Let's do it.
It is not believed the slapping was conducted with a pair of folded gloves, which would suggest that he's challenging the plane to a duel. Arizona is one of the states in the union.
How drunk am I? Because this. What?
Arizona is one of the states in the union left with no laws making dueling illegal. So the man and the plane may be legally able to conduct their duel if he is determined to be.
This is so weird.
To be the provocation for the slapping. We're still waiting for other key details to explain the slapping. This is an honest to God true story. I swear to God, if you look up man slaps airplane in Phoenix, you will find this is a true story. We're still waiting for other key details to explain the slapping. If the man had tears in his eyes and a slight quivering lit firmly set mouth, pending surveillance footage analysis, the stories about the plane being seen in the company of another man the night before at an airport bar in Houston may be confirmed. The motivation may be a love triangle, but we're not sure. Black box audio recordings are being studied to determine if the plane whistled at a man or said via its external loudspeakers anything suggesting that Bump should work it or had a nice rack or inquired if he'd like some fries to go with that shake.
What?
Personally, we're all just hoping the plane and the man can work it out together. But man,
is this from iSmokeCrackToday.com?
No.
This is super weird.
Swear to God.
Is he from Florida?
That is a tongue-in-cheek written story about it, but swear, a 49-year-old man who formerly was, now Tyler, you may know of him, he was an insurance salesman in Tennessee many years ago. He now has a long arrest record, scaled a 9-foot barbed wire fence, ran onto the south runways at Sky Harbor, ran up to the plane and slapped the engine on the side.
That is crazy.
Then tried to run from police.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'm embarrassed. Oh, no. You haven't gotten.
Oh, it's Avenue.
No, Avenue. We're
Avenue.
God, now I've got to edit again. Okay, Elm Street.
Huh. Numbers are the abs.
Yep, keep marking down time.
The more we ask about my address, the more I have to edit this show.
I just love that you haven't gotten Christmas cards from me in years.
In years. I hope all my neighbors are enjoying you.
Yeah, they're, some of them are fun.
Okay. Well, that's the end of it. But no, I don't know what he was on or what he had done. But there are three different arrest pictures of him, mugshots. They just progressively get worse. What the fuck is that you're looking at?
I don't know.
Tell
exactly.
me what's happening.
What is that,
what's
Katie?
Happening?
Is that local?
I don't know. No, it's from Perez Hilton.
That's...
Is it about Prince?
Half the man he used to be.
Is a drag queen. Someone... someone wrote night. I can share that on our...
Marnie doesn't know about our new thing.
Oh. Nope.
And the reason I know is because, let's see who actually posted this. That's someone on Facebook, awful. Jimmy Galvin wrote. Who,
of course,
who
Jimmy
had their drag, who had to drag their bag, bail their drag mother out last night? Barbara, Nevaeh, Bunny?
We have a new thing we're doing. It's called Cap and Cork.
Mm-hmm.
Any caps or corks of any bottle you open or drink, we're throwing the caps and corks in there. We're going to have a bigger thing.
Please
do. I wanted to save them all for the year and see what we wind up with at the end of the year.
I think that that's fantastic. When did we come up with that? Because today. I'm 6 minutes early.
No, I came up with it in the past week or so, but I forgot to tell you. I know you were early, but I was so thrown off by your arrival that I didn't know what to say.
I understand.
Got it.
Yes.
Marnie, take it away.
Well, do y'all like vanilla flavoring?
I do.
I do.
I really do, actually, yes.
On many things.
Minty. How about you, sir?
I like real vanilla.
Real vanilla.
I don't like vanilla flavor.
You sound like you're a vanilla snob.
I am.
It kind of could be, along with the story. Just don't say I didn't warn you. You like the beaver.
Not so much.
Well, see, now you're going sexually. I'm talking about the cute little, the
I don't like that little rodent either. I think he is a dick, actually.
I don't have anything against the little guys.
Well, the reason that I ask is because...
The reason.
There's a goo that comes out of the beaver.
Wait. Didn't we do this?
No,
we didn't?
No.
I swear we did this story.
Not that I'm
Go
aware.
Go ahead. Take it away.
I've had this story for a long time, but... I'm
afraid to see where beaver goo is going to go.
Go ahead. Well, once you hear it, you'll probably remember.
They secrete a goo called castoreum.
European.
Sounds gross.
European.
And they use it to mark their territory.
Oh, sure.
Well, apparently, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has okayed and marked it as generally regarded as safe additive to use in perfumes and food over the last 80 years.
Oh, come on.
I'm just letting you know. It says, I lift up the animal's tail. Get down there. And I'm like, get down there. Stick your nose in its bum. People think I'm nuts, I tell them, but... Oh, but it's beavers. It smells really good.
Get down there.
These are articles that you can't kind of make up. It's a chemical compound, this castoreum stuff, that comes mostly from... the beaver's castor sacs.
The beaver.
Which are located between the pelvis and the base of the tail.
Alleged beaver.
Taint. In the prancer sizer.
Thank you.
This is the prancer sizer.
What's your prancer size? The beaver prancer size. Proximity. It's close proximity to the anal glands.
Oh, God.
The castoreum is often a combination of
this
castor
is a
gland
story?
Secretions and gland secretions and urine. And it goes as vanilla. Due to the odor-producing bacteria in the gut, this chemical compound is a product of the beaver's unique diet of leaves and bark. Instead of smelling icky, castoreum has a musky vanilla scent, which is why food scientists like to incorporate it into recipes. Now, I have been a fan of vanilla,
true vanilla
for a very long time, and I am not any longer. After reading, I'm not.
Oh, my God. This is real.
It's
real. It's 100% real. That's why I thought we had already discussed this.
God.
You can squirt it out. It's pretty gross. Quote, unquote.
You can squirt it out. I don't care.
Right? I want a vanilla bean squeezed up into, you know what I mean?
No, and that's where I thought, okay, I need to make sure that all of it is just real. There is only about 292 pounds of this that... they can get yearly.
So now they're going to charge more for it.
Still, you want more?
Still concerned you're chowing down on beaver bum goop? Because it's FDA label.
Yes, I'm burning a vanilla cream candle in the corner.
Well,
it's a
lot. You got beaver goo in the corner.
I can smell your beaver from here. Thing is,
could you close your candle? Manufacturers don't have to.
Must be your breath.
Manufacturers don't have to list this castoreum on the ingredient list and may instead refer to it as natural flavoring.
That's disgusting.
Well, yeah, it's natural. Shot right out of a beaver's ass.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
So I just had to, as a fair warning for 2014, I felt that it was my duty
You said duty.
No, I said duty.
It'll always be funny.
Anyway, it really will. So, just beware of the beaver goo.
That's gross.
I swear we had that topic
already.
I made a comment that
I was going to read it, that I had this one.
But I also know that I saw it on the news. It literally was like on a CNN or something. I did see that in the past few weeks.
I can believe it.
Yeah,
because it was in Health Magazine. So I mean,
thank Christ, I don't like things that are vanilla flavored.
I really do.
Jesus Christ Himself.
That's right.
And I'm gonna see
if there's any castoreum in this right now.
You never know.
I'm sure.
It is the end of hour one. Wow, we got through so little in so long. More is coming. Apparently, Al ordered a pizza. So hour two, we're gonna drink and eat. It'll all work out somehow. We have the drinking disclaimer coming up, more headlines. Al's got movie stuff. Katie has sports and other stuff. There's so many things happening on this Tuesday evening in Studio C right here in the heart of Phoenix, where the polar vortex has not affected us at all.
A little bit.
Nah, we're fine. We'll all be good. We'll be back in just moments with more right here on Q Talk America. Stick around, won't you please?
Wait.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again, 8 o'clock on the old atomic clock on the wall. You're in Studio C live with The Show. I am Clayton McKee alongside Katie June, Al Perkins, and Marnie Ryer, all sitting here enjoying beverages and vanilla gooey loveliness.
And gordita vagina.
Yeah. Good Lord. So far we've discussed flooding.
Can we have a story that doesn't make me physically ill, please?
Yeah, we have a couple coming up that you'll get there.
Because I've had enough with meaty vaginas and things I squeeze out of a beaver for 500.
And you were so excited to get here earlier.
I know. That died.
That dream died.
I'd like to pick the polar vortex again.
It's fantastic.
Oh, I'm sure it is fantastic. Why wouldn't it be? Really?
Really?
Oh, can I tell you a really quick funny story?
Well, do right quick.
I was on the train the other day going to Tempe, and I had my headphones on, and I was listening to the last show that we did, because I just wasn't in the mood for music. And so I was kind of like giggling to myself, and this guy turns to me, and he's like, "Great smile." And I was like, oh, because I was seriously like kind of like low level giggling, laughing for the entire thing.
Yeah.
Because it reached a level of ridiculousness that I feel was heretofore unseen.
Well said.
We sometimes do that here on this show.
Yeah.
Coming up this hour, we're going to kick it off with our drinking disclaimer, because that's just for you to understand what we are not legally liable for. Also, more headlines. Al's got some entertainment. Katie's got sports and stuff, and just so many other things coming up. So we will kick off this hour like we do. Like this. Whoops, wrong thing. Do this one.
Whoops.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but... If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, I think we have to go with brouhaha. I think we've done it before, but we're going to do it again.
Brouhaha.
Starting the year out.
With a brouhaha.
What a great brouhaha ensued. I know we've used it before, but I
like
it. Oh, yeah,
but it's quite all right.
And you found a news story that actually used the word.
Absolutely.
Yes. I didn't realize that because I didn't have time today to read prior to airtime, but it's all right. Well, let's go up to the lovely state, and it's been in the news a lot lately. This state has, because it's either yes or no or yes or no. Let's go to South Jordan, Utah. Well, in the lovely area of South Jordan, they had nothing else to do but play games of hide and seek, and a game turned into a nightmare for a Utah family after an 11-year-old girl got stuck in a washing machine while playing the lovely game. Oh. Her mom says, quote, she loves to win. She's pretty competitive. Her daughter took the game of hide and seek to a dangerous level on Tuesday. She snuck into a closet and then lowered herself into a stackable washing machine. Rhodes was at work when she got a frantic call from her older daughter. She said, quote, tell her to get out of there. And she says that she can't. She's really stuck. I heard my other daughter screaming in the background. The girl's aunt was home and tried to pull her out. She was terrified. She actually thought that she was going to die in the washer. Well, as long as nobody turned it on, you're not going to die. She was so scared. She couldn't breathe. The agitator was pushing on her diaphragm.
Oh, God.
First of all, she's a young girl. Why does she have a diaphragm?
Well, we all have a diaphragm.
Different one. Apparently. Got it. It's all right. Well, when that didn't work, they ran...
just squeeze this one out. Excuse me.
They ran into the kitchen and grabbed butter, ice, and peanut butter.
Very gooey.
Not trying to make a sandwich. They were trying to get her out. I guess with all that stuff, if it gets gum out of the hair, it may get kids out of a washer, they thought. Then she was cold and said that she would pour warm water on her. So they tried that as well. Nicole made it home. By then, her daughter had been in the washer for almost an hour, so they called 911. They realized that they had removed the dryer unit to be able to get better access to her. So they took it apart, finally freeing her. Firefighters arrived at the scene armed with tools used in car accidents. They bought in the big tin snips they used to cut people out of cars and a lot of other gas-powered tools. The crews cut into the dryer, giving the girl enough room to wiggle out safely. Aside from some bruises, sore knees, the 11-year-old is doing fine.
Clean?
Well, no, there wasn't water in it.
Oh, okay.
Says, I felt bad for her, but also at the same time, I thought it was pretty funny, kind of laughing about it. Mom says her girl is more embarrassed than anything and won't be venturing into that spot again. Well, first of all, they have to buy an entire new washer and dryer because they ruined it. Finding the sense of humor in the situation is so much better than freaking out about it and getting overworked. She's already learned a pretty big lesson, according to her mother.
Now, that would be really freaky deaky. Like, if you're 11,
you're trying to rationalize this.
I am, but like, all I'm thinking about is like, if Palmer got stuck in my dryer, I would go ape shit. But I think I would call the fire department before I called Kelly.
This isn't the dryer. This was the washer.
Or in the washer, excuse me. But I still, that's freaky. Like, if you're trapped in the washing machine,
I would call Clinton before I'd call anybody.
That's actually a really good point.
He would take that shit apart in about 2 seconds.
I don't know. I would laugh hysterically on my way to your house.
It was just, you were so intent on the computer, and all of a sudden you picked up your cocktail. Like, that's so fucked up.
I mean, I'm reading this whole thing.
You were like 1970s drunk mom right
but
there.
The best part is that Huffington Post put the article as the Utah girl is feeling washed out and hung out to dry.
That means fucked hard and put away wet if you're not 10.
What I also like about it is they took video of her.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I haven't seen the video.
I think there's video of her. So,
she's like hiding her face. She's embarrassed.
Of course she's embarrassed.
Oh, of course.
She can't get same-sex marriage. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow. Oh, what's that? Oh, it's a dryer. No, she wasn't in the dryer.
No, that's just for dramatic effect.
Oh, I see. Got it. It's a fluff and tumble world.
Oh, it is.
It is. It sure is.
It sure is.
I'll take the fluffer, please.
Yes.
And then the tumbler, in that order.
In that order.
I'd like to be ready for the tumbler.
Well, they had various food items. Oil and butter and peanut butter.
What a great brouhaha ensued.
Oh,
it's one of my favorite words in the world. But that and huzzah are like my two favorite words.
Huzzah.
Oh, you got to go to Excalibur
and
watch that shitty show in the basement.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not shitty, but it's kind of dated. Well, it would because it's from the Renaissance. But because it was popular in 1460. But
anyway, let's build an entire casino around it.
But they do a whole thing and you pick your knight. It's very exciting. And you wave your... you wave your napkin. You spin your napkin around and you yell huzzah and you have you're in the section where you have your night. It's really
fun. I want to do it.
It's a lot of fun. It smells a little bit like horse shit. But they don't give you
a lot of prancer-sizing going on in there.
You get like a drumstick and
I'm done. I'm out.
Really?
They're going to hand you a drumstick and expect you to eat it? No. We're not doing that.
I'm in. I'm back in.
I'm totally with
Is pizza here yet? How have we figured this out? Go ahead.
I just got a text. Any chance you're sober and want to work? That's a negative. That's a negative, Ghost Rider.
That's it.
Nope. I'm three sheets in and just ordered pizza. Go fuck yourself. That restaurant must be busy tonight.
Seriously.
Marnie Ryer.
Well, city folks just don't get it.
No, they don't.
They don't get it.
This was terrible.
Mr. Perkins enjoyed this, if he recalls. The idea of people in, you know, there are different niches out there for dating.
Niches, we say in the city.
Is it European?
Yes. But that's the thing. I'm not talking about the city.
Oh, damn it.
I'm talking about out on the farm.
Rural areas.
Rural juror.
It's a niche at that point.
Oh, that's right. It would be a niche, not a niche.
Different. And they niche.
And you fall into the crevice, not the crevasse.
Exactly. So,
and people got pretty mild.
I don't think anybody pronounces it crevasse besides me. I don't think that's city or country.
No.
I think that's just my way of saying that word.
It may be Buffalo.
Everybody needs somebody to love, really. And city folks just don't get it. And so I'm hoping Clayton can play us a little something.
Where's Jill?
She's really lonely and out walking the cornfield again.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
Do you think they will ever find us true love?
Not hanging out with us all day.
We used to be lonely.
Until we met on Farmers Only.
FarmersOnly.com is the new online dating site for farmers, ranchers, and good old country folks.
You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com.
Well, city folks just don't get it.
City folks.
I'm Googling this immediately.
Oh, my God.
You have to. There are three different commercials.
We almost shit our pants.
Not shipped.
Shipped. We shit.
We shit our pants.
I have never. Now, did we do it? Can we tell him?
What?
We were going to put a profile for you on farmersonly.com.
I would have killed you.
With, like, your real information.
I would have killed you.
Maybe change the profile picture slightly.
Maybe some things.
But we were so ready. And I think we were one glass of wine shy of setting up the profile.
Was this? Did you do this at Thanksgiving? Is this when did you figure this out?
They showed us at Thanksgiving. We had co-conspirators, too.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Although I will say that farmersonly.com, they do allow... Men looking for men,
looking for women.
Oh, so, that's better than
we were not going to put you on the men looking for men site.
Correct.
We wanted country folk women to call you and hear about Walmart and growing up in a radio.
Because I love the jingle so much, I just made this.
You don't have to be lonely at
farmersonly.com. Oh, wait. You can
exercise
to it.
I just put it on repeat.
farmersonly.com.
You don't have It almost sounds like a Bengals song for a second there.
It does.
We're prancercising through farmersonly.com.
Susanna Hoffs for farmersonly.com.
For 500, Alex.
It's still an actual site, isn't it?
It is.
I meant to look it up earlier.
Site. Oh, my God, no. We
and
watched...
the men seeking men this and the women seeking women. We
farmers
thought...
seeking farmers.
What are you doing? You're not logging in, are you?
I'm trying, but like, here's
it's
the
not
thing.
Like logging
do you
in.
Have to do your own address?
No,
like, what do I do with it? How do I do a fake email?
I think we just learned an address about 20 minutes ago that we could use here.
At 7:48, we did.
Yeah. Needless to say, we may or may not have signed somebody else up.
Whoa! I just saw Covert the other day.
No, it wasn't him. But it wasn't like we signed them up. And they never checked their email. So we felt okay about it. And if they do, maybe something will work out.
I am a little...
I know
but
it.
We went on and looked at that. Well, you could see the different profiles. And I said, Aaron, oh, fuck. If I know anyone on this thing, I would die.
That
sure
commercial
enough.
When they walk through the cow field,
yes.
I almost shit myself. Yeah.
Wait, like, you knew somebody on it?
Oh, I did.
Were you looking
you
women for
not.
Women?
You did not.
Wait, were you looking women for women or women for men?
It was a male. It was a guy that was on there.
FarmersOnly.com.
See, do you have to do a real email address?
Well, we use their real email address.
I'm just going to use my real because I gotta get on there.
I gotta get me a farmer.
I gotta tell you, it was and seeing the different
brutal
the different
brutal.
Profiles was quite cute. Like some of them were kind of cute, like and sweet. I guess I just thought it would... Some of them are real fucking weird, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Really?
They're sweet, and some of them are real
fucking weird. But
I do have a topic basically related, and maybe if we met somebody on farmersonly.com, we could ask
you
them.
You don't have to be lonely anymore. At farmersonly.com.
See, it's so goddamn catchy. It's infectious.
It sure is. I'm hooked. But I do want to know about...
No, you're not.
Not at all.
No, you're not. No.
Locally sourced food, because this keeps coming up with all these people bragging about locally sourced food. So I want to talk to a farmer and find out, like, okay. We don't live in a climate where you can grow all that much locally sourced food because it's a fucking desert.
Well, it's a little warm.
They water a lot of it, though.
So, like, how, like, local... So, I mean, this is not for a topic right now by any means. But I want everyone to be in on this. And please, MissyL@AOL.com, like... Yeah. I want to know, like, how it's possible. Like, it's a grand idea and a grand notion that I can go to a restaurant and get, but the chickens and the cows, they got to come from somewhere else. Because eventually, you're going to eat all your locally sourced chickens because it's a city of 5 million people.
Well, you can just go to my neighbor's house because he's got fucking chickens all the time now.
I am really, like, looking at this site.
And so does Joel have chickens that lay eggs, and eggs are like they're not a finite resource. They can keep laying the eggs. Right. But the chickens you're going to run out of.
Right, absolutely.
First time you eat a chicken, there's less eggs. Yeah. So I just... I have this...
It becomes a brouhaha to not have any more chicken.
Oh, Tomo is here.
We like to welcome New Zealand. We have listeners in New Zealand, Australia, and of course the United States right now.
Happy New Year.
So I just have that question, and I want someone to like write me a carefully worded essay about
figure that out.
How possible that
how
is.
How many words?
Huh?
How many words?
I'd 500? Like it to be 1,000.
1,000.
Because I think it's a deep topic.
I think it is as well.
This is actually really a little bit disconcerting. Like, I found a really, like, cute 73-year-old woman that I was like, she's so sweet. Yeah. Little 73-year-old she's lesbian. She's actually not a lesbian. Yeah. So why did I type in woman seeking woman? And it's like, I'm seeking a man. Yeah. Why do I have
my
profile?
In the country, they all kind of look the same.
Maybe she wants a handsome woman.
See that Prancer-sized woman from earlier? You never know.
She might be on
Let's
here.
Let's just say this.
Maybe
she
Prancer-sizes and does the equestrian thing because she has a mouth similar.
Why the long face?
Why, Tori Spelling. Why the long face, Tori Spelling? First off, they all look the same in overalls. And two... I cannot have any kind of sexual congress with you
racist.
If you have ever worn overalls. Since
ever?
I'm going to make the cutoff like 1981.
Except if you were in a play.
No. Well
if you were on stage in
Halloween,
a costume.
I'm going to need you to act out the scene that required overalls.
Can you recite?
Was it of mice and men?
Can you give me lines from a scene?
I will accept Steinbeck.
Okay.
Steinbeck.
So we should put that on the profile.
Okay. Let's get
That's
to
very
a...
Very important.
I have
Can
two
you imagine if somebody showed up in your home in overalls? I mean, you'd have to shoot them.
But what if...
I would have to stand my ground.
I actually.
Do you think that would hold? I was standing my ground. That asshole came in overalls.
I would just show them a picture and be like, to shoot or not to shoot.
They entered my home and I was afeared.
I am
afeared.
I am pretty sure when I moved to Arizona, I still owned them.
Did you wear them?
Own them is one thing.
Well, I don't know exactly when I got rid of them. I know they're not in this house now.
When was the last time you wandered through the house with them on?
With overalls?
Nobody, because I'm afraid that FaceTime people can see me like you. I'm kidding.
And I just want to back up on that statement to let you know that I'm almost a never nude. So my idea of nude is a t-shirt, underwear, and a bathrobe. Like, that to me is nude.
You are naked. I'm naked.
Yeah, exactly.
And based on most other skin of his, all of those were white items he mentioned also blend in with his skin tone.
Exactly. I'm not a never nude, but I'm really close.
It's Casper.
And I'm trashed. We have got to get food here.
Ordered it.
Last but not least, on the Farmers Only, I just want everyone to know, instead of asking what your astrological sign is, farmersonly.com, we ask if you raise or breed alpacas, horses, cattle, chickens, dogs, goats, rabbits, sheep, grow crops, or if you're an organic farmer, student farmer, cowboy, cowgirl, or just a farmer wannabe.
They ask a lot for a simple site.
I didn't know math would be involved.
God,
so
that's a lot.
Like,
wow.
It takes all out of me.
Now, why is it that you get christianmingle.com, you get match.com, you get all these people that are all over TV.
He's my second chance.
How come? He's my second chance.
He's my second chance. Whatever. Is that not the biggest cry for mental illness when she goes, he's my second chance?
And she's like, cheers.
I almost killed myself 20 minutes ago until I got to the computer.
Was Jesus, because that's her first
right? Oh my God, it got out of my head. That's exactly what I said. My first chance was Jesus, but now I'm on this guy.
Yeah. So now I'm taking Jesus.
just turns out Jesus has been dead for a while.
This guy can't walk on water, but he can swim. So we're good.
And I can't afford the plane ride to Bethlehem or a shovel.
And I'm not strong enough to move that fucking rock. I can't.
It's huge.
Well, okay, let's go to this is a completely serious story, and it actually affects several of us who know people who have not only done this or are fighting for this. And you knew it was only a matter of time before it was. A suit has been filed in Arizona to allow same-sex marriages. A class action lawsuit filed Monday by four Arizona couples is seeking to make same-sex marriage legal in Arizona. It's on and off again in Utah, and right now it's off pending an appeals court analysis of the whole thing. The suit here in Arizona, which actually names Governor Jan Brewer, General
2014.
Tom, General,
yes.
That's the first cunt of the year right there.
Attorney, wow, we made it 2 hours and 19 minutes.
I was trying to do it right
that's
when I got here,
really
but
good.
I was early.
I thought the same thing.
We've been cunt free for 2 hours and 19 minutes. 1 hour.
Well, we've had camel toe.
I was told there'd be no math.
The suit, which names Arizona Governor Jan Brewer and Attorney General Tom Horn and the county clerk Michael Jeans as defendants, was filed by attorneys Sean and Ellen Aiken. It claimed that a voter-approved ban on gay marriage is, quote, unconstitutional. The plaintiffs are asking the court to strike or reverse Arizona's ban on same-sex marriages, said Sean Aiken. Right now, the state constitution prohibits same-sex marriages. The suit would allow same-sex couples to be married and would recognize same-sex marriages conducted in other states as well. Now, what we do already have, and that was handed down by the feds, that if you are a same-sex couple married in any of the states that currently recognize it, you, by fed, would be recognized in the tax realm, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
That's blanket. Correct. That's everywhere.
18 states, I believe, at this point, or 17?
17 or 18 states, yeah. I think 18 is Utah. But Utah is right now back and forth on that.
Did Illinois finally fall? I can never remember.
No, Illinois.
So I think we're at 16. And then Utah became 17.
We would be 19 if Utah was on the books, and we would be the 19th state. So okay. Utah's not, so 17 total.
And I think the problem is going to be now is that they're going to run it now. If they stop it in the middle and some people have already been married and they've handed out licenses. Oh, there's the doorbell.
Finish
they're
going to
run into the problem of denying someone that they already have.
Right.
Got it.
Seven, 17 states with legal gay marriage and 33 states with same-sex marriage being banned, obviously.
It said here, should the plaintiffs with the case, Arizona would become the 19th state. Now, this obviously was written before the Utah, you know, back and forth thing. So, again, I think Utah would be 18.
We
would be 18, right, if Utah's gets slammed down. Aiken said there are about 25 lawsuits failed in 15 states that are seeking legalization of gay marriage. The class action is the only suit currently in the state of Arizona. So it was also filed by four couples who have all been married outside of Arizona. Two of those couples have actually legally already adopted children as well.
And you know what's really surprising to me is I was listening to this story on NPR, and they were talking a little bit about the judges in the Utah case and the whole thing. And Kelly has really a good friend who was married day one. Well, she went to go be married day one in Utah, and they denied her, even though it was quote unquote legal at that point. They ended up going back to a different court or something, because she just wanted Provo to be on, that's where they live now, and she wanted Provo to be on the marriage license, because she's like, those fuckers spent so much money on Prop 8, and I want Provo to be on my marriage license. And so they got a marriage license, which is great. But anyway, what they were talking, as I'm listening to this whole story in NPR, all I could think was, you're spending money on this rising tide. Like, this is never, it might hold for 6 months. Mm-hmm. It maybe will hold for a year or maybe even 6 years. Sure. But this is all changing. Like, I wonder what the opposition really thinks. I mean, do they like genuinely think that they're going to shut this down and end marriage entirely? Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't get it, because this is all happening.
I'm sure that they think that they will.
The delusional one?
No.
But I'm sure that they think they will.
They really think they're going to stop progress and stop the future from being
at least there.
It's crazy. Yeah.
No, they honestly are just
pizza?
No. There are lemon pepper chicken wings. Because you don't like chicken wings, right?
I won't eat anything while the bone.
No, it's boneless lemon pepper.
Then we're on board.
Then you're in.
Yeah, we're at McDonald's level. No, and that's what I can't remember who the Republican strategist was. It's not the fucktard that's the head of the Republican National Committee, Priebus, whatever his name is. Okay. But the guy that they had on was saying everyone has realized the battle's over, but they have to at least put up the pretense for the 30% or 40% that are like never going to come on board. Okay. They at least have to mollify them and throw some money at it. And they know where it's going because
I mean, it's just so clear.
They've already said
the history has already been written.
You can't offer someone a right and then deny it later, saying that, oh, no, whoops, we made a mistake. And that was the whole thing with Prop 8. It's already a precedent. It's already been said by the high courts.
It's going to happen.
It can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. But they're saying that they absolutely have to throw a little noise and money at it.
We'll throw a bone.
So because they're those people that will get primaried. The far right that they want to be able to say, well, at least we tried to stop that, knowing we can't now.
We're not going to.
The Supreme Court has come down firm enough to keep blocking all these things.
Got it.
Okay. Well, I figure that they are that delusional. I mean, that they have to, I'm sure that they're sitting there going, we're going to make sure it doesn't happen here.
They've run out of funding. Like, they honestly have, like, there's the Republican Party. And the Christians have got to find something. Like, they need something else to find money on because it's a losing proposition.
Okay.
And if you go to someone who's, like, borderline, you're going to get the crazies on the right all the time. But now, they're such a fringe that the other people are like, is there something else you want money for? Like, come on.
Okay, yeah. Let's put their own money into the wind
at
this point. Okay.
I got one more, but you go ahead.
Okay. Girls, not you on this one, Elle.
Shocking.
Nothing coming out of my viewer.
It's that time of the month. We sat there and again watching something about apps that you can download. And there is an app that you can download for time of the month timer as far as when you'll get your period. When you need to change your tampon.
Oh, God. Come on.
How many stories are you going to have that are all about this topic?
Are you not getting laid?
What topic?
We've had camel toe, beaver.
Meaty vaginas.
Now you're into menstrual cycles on an app?
What are you talking about? I didn't have anything to do with those things. They just happened to be part of the story. And the beaver had nothing to do with the beaver.
I'm sorry. If you can use a phone but not your vagina and figure out when to take that cotton out, you're in a lot of fucking trouble.
This is what troubled me. They have, like, so time remaining, and you input your information, and it will give an alarm for when you need to change your tampon. It will give you an how do you not know?
If you need air freshener to uncross your legs, it is time to pull the cotton out.
Get a vanilla cream candle.
The beaver goo.
Shot right out of a beaver's ass.
Hello.
My gosh.
But I thought that was the strangest thing, and I was curious with finding ridiculous apps as such. If you guys have found any that are just crazy.
No, I don't go looking.
I didn't go looking for it. It was something that was on a story and I went, "What?"
I don't I only look for apps that are useful to me that can help me accomplish something.
But you haven't heard of any other ones.
Honey, I know when I put the tampon in and when I'm taking it out.
You weren't a part of that.
Well in advance.
There truly were 209 results. For different kinds of either to a degree fertility, but a woman log calendar, a pink pad fertility and period app.
Well, Katie may need this.
That's true. I can use that.
I mean, I thought it was just ridiculous, and I couldn't believe that 209 menstruation and ovulation. This and that.
Well, I can see where you might want to be a gentle reminder of your ovulation. Like, because people write that down on calendars.
And
well,
if you're having fertility
problems, knowing your ovulation schedule. And that may not be something you just carry around with you, like when you put the tampon in.
Well, they like that it's discreet. That has been on a lot of the reviews. So if the app is on there.
Except people that create the app know you've got it.
Well,
they have your information. Right. Don't tell me they don't.
A lot of the information.
So then what they'll do is they'll aggregate all of this information and have a big brouhaha on CNN once they do a report about this, and they're going to figure out that all the women in North America cycle on the 15th of every month or whatever the fuck they're going to do. They'll come up with something. And then people like Kotex and all these companies are going to market towards it. They will figure out how to harvest that data. Trust.
I don't like the word harvest in this context. Yeah.
Because that made me really uncomfortable. Yeah.
They will figure out.
But I thought it was the strangest thing that here we have this, you know, cool technology. And
that's what they're using it for.
That's the kind of stuff that's on there. And I thought,
I like the
really?
Fact that people have the apps on their phone that show how far they've run or walked any given day.
Sure.
Not that I do it, but I love to watch and see on Facebook when they've run or walked. Like, you did 5 miles today. Good for you.
They have it on Facebook?
Oh, they yeah, because the app uploads and tells shows you how far you've run.
Only if you want it to, actually.
Oh, no, no, right. no, true. Yeah. No, true.
I was like, you guys
oh, my
say
God,
no,
the Philippines has just signed on. Well, hello,
Philippines.
To the Philippines. Welcome, welcome.
Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm. And so, a Bruno Mars to you. Sir or ma'am.
Bruhaha Mars.
Join us in the chat room. Let us know right.
She's
what you're
done
doing.
On Stiri, so she gets above the waist.
Yeah.
I really didn't think that I was below the waist. I was prancercising.
You were below the waist in all your stories today.
I don't think I was.
Yes, you were.
I think you made it that way.
You used the word meaty vagina.
Well, she has a meaty vagina.
Beefy.
Am I wrong?
Beefy. She said beefy.
I did say beefy.
So all of the cattle the producers in Texas are on board
accurately.
For you.
Yeah,
so.
Thank you.
The danger of synonyms.
We will transition out of this by, well... We're going to come out of the closet for once and for all.
Good.
So how big was that closet?
Well, it's been a big closet. Apparently for all of the GOP, Aaron Schock, an anti-gay Republican congressman who has the gayest Instagram pictures ever, just adjusted his account to private.
We have the correct spelling of his name?
Yes, S-C-H-O-C-K. Now, he just adjusted his account settings on Instagram to private. The reason for that is he was just outed by a journalist. A long message on his name is Ite Hod, it doesn't matter, on his Facebook, just accused Schock of hypocritically voting against bills that would support equal rights for gays, yet the congressman was caught by a reporter in the shower with his boyfriend. Why the reporter was in his house, I don't know yet. Hod wonders why journalists have not outed Schock before, since he says TMZ has footage of the congressman frequenting gay bars. One of Schock's biggest crimes.
Oh, you're a beauty.
One of his biggest crimes is his fashion sense. By the way, here's him not being gay.
Oh my God.
No self-respecting gay man would ever wear his clothes in public, but a self-loathing gay man might. So, yeah. So
that is gay or gay.
Google that
there.
Picture.
Wow.
And find him. No
but,
shit,
I mean,
that's
when
a lot.
He's not dressed
he
like a party clown.
So
he is
though.
Cute.
It's a cute guy. He was also on the cover.
You'll see him coming.
Also on the cover of Men's Fitness magazine as the most the most fit congressman.
The most eligible gay bachelor.
Right, well, they didn't say that, but apparently he was just outed, and things are all changing. So another gay out of the closet of the GOP.
Is he going to be on What Not to Wear?
Oh, he's going to be on What Not to Suck, apparently, from the GOP.
Oh, apparently.
Because he
Good
is
call.
Voting against shit that he's secretly for.
He's a cunt.
Yeah.
So I mean, he may be, like all cute guys, he's a fucking cunt.
He's done a lot. He's done a lot against the gay rights, and being in it, he's just insane.
But he is so self-loathing.
Oh, yeah, this...
Oh really?
Wow! This guy's a
he is like majorly against gay rights, like major. And
so I'm assuming we'll have much more to talk about in regards to him
with a dick in his ass,
or wherever he might
no,
put
got
it.
Caught in the shower with another man,
right? But we don't know where. I mean, where the dick was?
Oh,
I say in his ass. Yes,
allegedly,
that's correct, Bob.
In the butt, Bob.
It was a brouhaha of Santorum that squirted out of him.
We're back to Santorum.
Like I made it into your like vanilla candy.
I know, right?
Oh. I was gonna say like a vanilla scented beaver.
Cheesy Pete.
Wow.
Things I don't want to talk about again for 1,000
ever.
Wow.
Ever.
Mr. Perkins.
Yep.
Are we at a point in time where we could go to your entertainment section?
I think we can.
You think we can? Oh, it's your first one of the year. Are you nervous? I think you'll be fine. I think you'll be fine.
The Golden Globes are this Sunday. The Producers Guild and Directors Guild have announced their nominees for Best Picture. HBO, if you can afford it, has some good stuff coming up. And it was a great brouhaha because Matthew McConaughey has another job.
Oh!
And I have reviews of a couple of Oscar hopefuls to share with you all. And that's really it. Oh, and I'm going to make my predictions for the Golden Globes.
Okay.
Nice.
Very quickly.
Nice.
Entertainment.
I'm going to go snag pizza.
I think you should.
It is real good.
Okay, so we'll start with the Golden Globes. They are coming up this Sunday. They're on like TBS.
Is that weird?
Oh, no, they're on NBC. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry. Like, the SAG Awards will be on TBS.
Yeah. I was confused.
But and the Golden Globe Awards, I will not be watching them live because I forgot about the Olympics in Sochi.
It's literally this Sunday on the 12th.
Yeah, it is.
Shit.
And it's
too
early.
I'm going to a play.
I know, it's way too early. So I didn't Google award shows till after the 19th. So my bad. So I will be not watching them live. And I didn't used to care about the Golden Globes because they weren't live.
But they're fun. They're the fun ones.
Right, but they also just got live. They only have been live for like 3 years.
And who hosts them?
It's
Amy Poehler.
Tina Fey.
And Tina Fey, yeah.
So we'll go down best motion picture drama, because of the way this is all split up, it's going to be 12 Years a Slave. Because remember, we talked about musical or comedy.
Right.
Everyone tried to get in that. In that pool, because it's usually the easier
right,
category.
Right, and it was so weird. Yeah.
Yeah, so I have to tell you that now that I've seen everything, well, I haven't seen Her yet in the comedy. I've seen 4 out of 5, and I have to tell you, the best comedy and the one that's the best of all of these is The Wolf of Wall Street. American Hustle has some light moments, but The Wolf of Wall Street is like laugh out loud fucking funny. That is a comedy. Like, they're not kidding. Best Actor in a Motion Picture Drama. We have to go with Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave. Matthew McConaughey, I think, is our only spoiler here. If Robert Redford wins, I'm going to shoot my fucking TV.
That's what you've said.
Yeah.
And Robert Redford was in that, like self-movie.
He was just in the Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Kind of floating in a boat.
And I just have to say, and whenever I make this rule about anybody but him, that's almost always the person who wins.
Okay.
Whenever I have my anybody but this one performance can
it's
win this
happen.
Oscar,
it's that one.
Yeah. That's who wins. Yeah. Okay. Best Actor in a Motion Picture Comedy, I have to say it, there is nobody else that could pull off what Leonardo DiCaprio did in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Wow.
There is not one other actor that could give you smarmy and slick and gross and believable, and you would buy anything from him. Best Actress in a
Penny, wasn't it like a penny
stock
stocks thing?
Okay. Penny stocks. Okay. It's but we'll get to that later. Best Actress in Motion Picture Drama, I think it's going to be Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. But anybody here is good. Kate Winslet's nominated for Labor Day, which I've never seen or heard of.
I just saw an ad for
an
it.
Ad for
I want to see it.
I don't think it opens for like 3 more weeks.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird that they snuck it in for Oscar consideration. And if I'm not mistaken, it's a Weinstein film and they campaign really hard. But Weinsteins have so many horses in this race that they're kind of competing against themselves. Best Actress in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. Everybody in this category is good. Frances Ha is now available on Netflix streaming. See it. Greta Gerwig. But Amy Adams in American Hustle is the clear winner here, and she deserves awards, and it's finally time for her to stand up and accept something, and she's phenomenal in that. And she's going to get her 5th Oscar nomination. She's going to get her 5th Oscar nomination this year and lose justifiably to, like, she really is 4th. As good as she is.
Yeah, it's just that kind of year.
It's that kind of
the
year.
The women are just on top.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, last year I complained because there was only one true actual lead performance by an actress in a motion picture that was nominated, and it was the little girl from Beast of the Southern Wild. Everyone else was a glorified supporting performance. This year, we're lousy with it. Seriously, you can't swing a cat without hitting a lead actress in a real motion picture. It's a strange year that it's just coming out.
Yeah.
Best actor, supporting actor, I think it's going to be the guy from Captain Phillips, Barkhad Abdi. Everything is working towards him, but
that's the cab driver.
The cab driver from Minnesota.
Very exciting.
Watch out for Jared Leto, because that movie, I'm reading everything and I can't decide if it's, I can't decide where it is on the pendulum.
Oh,
not the autism spectrum, but the pendulum of Academy Awards. I really can't tell
where it falls.
Because it keeps coming and going.
Cunt.
Yeah, a little bit. She's just profoundly stupid.
Yes.
Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture. This is going to be Lupita Nyong'o for 12 Years a Slave. This is where they didn't nominate Oprah.
And you were surprised by that.
Shocked that this gladhanders, these fucktards, didn't take a chance to get Oprah up on stage.
Yep.
Is shocking.
Yep.
This award show is a lot of fun. They have zero credibility. Mm. Absolutely zero. Because no one knows who they are, but they provide champagne and something. They used to bribe people all the time. They were famous for bribing
people. People get drunk, and it's funny.
Yeah. But no, the bribes, there were actual bribes that used to go on, because there's less than 100 of them. So to win Best Actor or Actress or Picture, you need less than 26 people to like your movie.
Yeah, so you just, like, give them hand jobs.
And they agreed. They were accused.
Over my movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
But they were accused. They famously gave Pia Zadora the Newcomer of the Year Award for a terrible, terrible movie. There are so many incidences of them just being fucktards. But it's a lot of fun. It's a fun show, and
They're drunk.
Somebody winning usually guarantees a nomination in your category. You pretty much are going to get nominated. Your winning is not guaranteed.
Yes, Clayton?
Can I also welcome Spain and the Philippines to our...
Oh, España!
For the first time, we have Spain, so I'm looking...
Hola, España.
If you are... Bienvenidos.
Jump in the chat room if you can. Let us know what you're doing, who you are, and how you found us. But Al, continue on.
Yeah, so... Oh, I said Lupita. So, best director, this one I can't tell. This is going to be the race of the year. And, oh, we'll get to the next thing. But from this particular list, I still can't pick. 12 Years a Slave, Steve McQueen, or Alfonso Cuarón, sentimental favorite for me because I think he's one of the greatest directors working, and I try to see everything he does. David O. Russell has the movie of his career. American Hustle's phenomenal. No. This is tough shit. And Paul Greengrass for Captain Phillips, which made you, like, sympathize with both the hijackers and the hijackees. Like, great work. So, and I think Best Animated Feature is just over. I think it's just going to be Frozen.
Oh, my God, I saw that.
I haven't seen it yet.
On my holiday, and I loved it. Yeah. And it actually kept Palmer's attention. So, like, it kept a 33-year-old and a 3-year-old's attention entirely.
Strangely enough, you have the same attention span.
Right, which is sad for one of us. I'm not...
You.
I don't know.
It's sad for
one.
You.
Yeah, okay. So, but it was so cute. And I have to say, if we've not talked about it before, but I loved that, you know, want Palmer to watch Disney movies. And, you know, the idea of the Disney princess everyone hates because she has to get rescued by a man at every turn.
That's why I watched Beauty and the Beast.
God, I loved this, that she was rescued by her sister, and it was so sweet.
And Beauty and the Beast, she gets a library, not something pretty.
Right.
I love that she
Can
reads
I
a book.
Can I tell you one other movie I saw really quickly while you're talking movies is... Saving Mr. Banks.
Yes.
Okay.
That is on my review list.
Dorbsy, Dorbsy, Dorbs.
Yes, that movie has no business being that good.
It's so cute.
Absolutely zero business. It should have been a dud and boring and, like, for people like me and no one else to like. And I gotta tell you, it was fucking fantastic. Okay.
Now, that's interesting because now, and I don't recall if you'd said anything prior, but somebody else on Facebook, and again, it's not real life. Had said that it was don't waste your time, wait for DVD, even if that. So I'm wondering, I don't remember who it was.
It wasn't a movie person because Buddy's review said the same was the exact same thing.
Like, as yours?
You should have no.
What about Barbara? It's my other go-to movie person.
Oh, no, she loved it too. Yeah, she was crying during the previews.
We cried.
Had her at the previews.
I was crying. I cried at the end of the movie. I mean, I was like really doing the tears. But like legit, it was just such a wonderful
film. Are you going to give that away too? Just like the sister? Just curious.
I'm about to zipping it right now.
I do have to admit that I shed an emotional tear through that.
I appreciate it.
No, I did. I cried through the whole end of
it. It was so good. How could you not?
Yeah. So now the big news is that the Directors Guild has put out their nominees, and the Directors Guild, except for notable cases like last year where Ben Affleck was notably snubbed for the Oscars.
Argo.
But don't cry. Not all eyes will weep for him. He won every other major award.
Yeah, don't cry for me, Argentina.
And he actually won the Directors Guild Award, which is, in anyone's circle, the Directors Guild is the more prestigious award because it's handed out by directors.
Right.
And it really is about the craft on that one. So this year, it's Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity, Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave, David O. Russell for American Hustle, and then the two big surprises that the Directors Guild went with them was Martin Scorsese for The Wolf of Wall Street, because now as people see it and they're like, oh my God, this movie is fucking great. I think that movie's on the upswing.
Okay.
And then Paul Greengrass actually got the nod for Captain Phillips, which surprised everyone but me, because I'm like, oh, no. I watched that fucking Danish movie that everyone said was so great called Hostages or Kidnapped or whatever the hell it's called. It was a snore fest. I seriously wanted all of those that time back.
Oh.
Because everybody was like, this is what was wrong with American cinema. I mean, it's entertaining. Like, I get it. You're on a boat and you're dirty. It's been weeks. Thanks.
Done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if this was just filmed before... Like, this is what they did before there could be military intervention, this Danish movie. But... this is the movie that everyone said, Captain Phillips just doesn't hold up compared to this Danish movie. Fuck no. That Danish movie was a chore.
Oh, that's so horrible.
It was a chore. Okay.
I'm a Tom Hanks
either
person.
Sink the boat or bomb them. Like, end this shit now. I
flip
get
a coin.
It. You don't have a shower.
Right.
Great. thanks.
Flip a coin.
So that was the Directors Guild. So I have to say that Paul Greengrass, I think I'm the only person really pulling for... Mark Martinez wanted to know what I... Saving Mr. Banks, which I'll get to in a minute. But we're going to get to one last thing, and I don't know why it's no longer on here, so I got to Google it. But the Producers Guild, who are our best... prognosticators? What's the word I'm looking for? For Best Picture, PGA Awards. Oh, I have the link on my thing. God damn it, I forgot about it. So anyways, they have been, except for they stuck to 10. The Academy Awards have gone up and down. And it can be anywhere from 5 to 10 nominees.
Right, which is annoying. I think it's way too many.
Well, it's because of their weighted system. It's because of how you have to vote for Best Picture or actually anything that you can end up with like this long strew of people that have enough number one votes to get them nominated.
Okay.
So we could spend a whole hour on that stupid fucking...
Well, I kind of remember you talking about that with the Oscar party, like right beforehand, talking about it last year. But it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't
to
make
me.
Any sense to the people that are doing it either. You have to number your choices, and it's weighted by how many number ones you get.
Okay.
So this was clearly not the page to go to, so I'm going to get off this. But the Producers Guild, God damn it, where is that link? God bless America.
Assets.
Let's talk about something else for just a second while I try to find this.
These boneless chicken wings are fantastic.
Mm. I thought you might like them.
Yes. Aren't they, though?
I like the boneless part of this. I'm all on board. Yes.
I always forget them. The Producers Guild are such self-important pricks that if you go to their webpage, they don't tell you what got nominated.
That's weird.
They tell you about how to join the Producers Guild, and it's really fucking annoying.
But they don't tell you, here's what we do.
Okay, so
nominate these people.
The only thing that they get one or two wrong, but they are, I think they have like a 70 or 80% success rate. So for your top 10 films, according to the Producers Guild of America, which is all the producers, it's a big group, 12 Years a Slave, no surprise. American Hustle, no surprise. Blue Jasmine coming in, getting out of just the Best Actress list and making it to a full movie. Big deal. Captain Phillips makes it. Dallas Buyers Club, which many people thought would just be the two actors nominated, no one would win, this is a Best Picture, was a long shot in the dark, is proving to be wrong. They're coming up on a lot of different lists for what is a really good movie. Gravity, which it's either 12 Years a Slave or Gravity for Best Picture at this point. Her, which is getting a lot of awards recognition, still hasn't opened.
I saw a thing from Barbara today.
Said she just doesn't care.
Yeah, I'm with...
Right.
I'm
and she's one of my movie people, so I was like... Mm.
But it's Spike... I don't know if she's...
I want to see it.
But if you like... Spike Jonze just makes great movies. So he can't miss. Like, he makes great movies. I've heard nothing but good things about it, just hasn't opened. Nebraska...
The trailers don't do anything for me, though. Like
then probably not see it.
Yeah.
There's a lot there's a lot of other stuff to see first.
Yeah.
But Nebraska makes the list. Saving Mr. Banks, which I thought was a big surprise for that to come in a Best Picture slot. And then The Wolf of Wall Street makes it. So, again, there we are. So we'll go with movie reviews. Saving Mr. Banks, the story of the woman who wrote Mary Poppins and Disney's 20-year push to buy the rights to Mary Poppins.
The whole story was... essentially a true story.
Oh, yeah.
And the end, you kind of realize that really during the credits, you're like, what?
They play the actual tape. She wanted everything recorded. But Emma Thompson, who just can't do any wrong.
She's
the woman is just amazing.
Yeah.
Gives this woman a little bit of humanity. And there was complaints.
Just the right amount. Like, she was just bitchy enough, but just real enough.
But they did make up the driver. There was no one that she liked in Hollywood. They just had to, give you some human side of her. And there were some complaints that she was a lesbian with an adopted child and that they didn't bring any of that up in the movie. And they're
was she really?
It's about 2 weeks of her life. We can't fit in that she,
the whole
lesbian
that
with
she
an
may have broken
child.
An arm when she was four. Like, we can't have everything.
Well, I've only seen a couple of the previews, but I do want to see it because I'm kind of interested from the standpoint of it's kind of a historic piece because I like the part of how the Disney world was developed, how it all came about.
Oh,
blah, blah.
And really her demands are
the one scene that I see where she's sitting at a table and the two guys are at the piano doing some song and she's like, stop, don't, whatever you're doing, just stop doing it. And they just tuck supercalifragilistic behind.
Oh, she's like, that's not a real word. They're like, we made it up. She's like, well, unmake it up. And they just tuck supercalifragilistic underneath.
Right.
But there's one part, and she does offer a little bit of insight where it turns out it's a story about her family. Like, she has fancified and maybe kind of prettied up the story of her family, And so when they find out who Mr. Banks really is, and they write a song, like, she's like, you have to stop making him a horrible person.
Oh, I just cried.
Like, and that's where it really gets you, where she's like, stop making him a horrible person. And so they write a song to kind of let the world know that Mr. Banks loves his family. Oh. And it was
let's go fly a kite.
Now you're no spoilers.
Uh-oh. Am I really? Yeah, yeah. Is that too much?
Yeah, it's too much.
I won't know. I won't remember.
Okay, good.
But no spoilers.
It is, although you know the story, but yeah. It is so sweet.
It has
and
been
Kelly
so long.
Did not want to see it at all. So we were in Colorado, and there's one movie house with two screens in Durango. And we could go see that or Wolf of Wall Street. And the movie screen is like the size of this like panel on the wall.
Oh.
And so she wanted to see Wolf of Wall Street on a bigger screen. And so she said, well, we'll go see the other one. And it was perfectly lovely on that size. But it was and she thought she was going to hate it. She just wanted to go see a movie. But she really liked it as well, which spoke volumes to me. Because she doesn't like things like Disney and cutesy and heartfelt.
I wouldn't even consider this as cutesy. This
no,
is
heartfelt.
It's almost, I wouldn't say historical.
But it
that's
is.
It's a little bit glorification of what this is. But it does tell a real story of how it came to be.
It does.
It's very sweet. And I don't mean cutesy.
Documentary, that's the word I meant.
Yeah, it is. It's a little more, it's just, you know, like a feel-good kind of. And that's not her. She likes romantic comedies, action. Yeah. This just wasn't her thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but it was.
But it sucked her in. She got it.
Yeah.
And I had the brakes on for the whole thing. I had no intention of liking it. I was like, oh, I really want to see Wolf of Wall Street, but I'll do this for my friend that, you know, I owe him forever because I made him see Tree of Life. I actually forced him into that theater and then spent the rest of my life regretting what is one of the worst movies I've ever
seen. And now making it up to him.
Yeah, well, so I always have to cave on him.
Also on board and in the chair, Joe DeGanzik said that Mr. Banks was completely incredible.
Hi,
that
really Joe. Was.
That was funny, Bradford. I thought that too about Bradley Whitford.
Oh.
The other one, I think I've given it away that I loved it. The Wolf of Wall Street is...
Oh, you were on Facebook today, the other day, talking about it.
Brilliant. It is so well done. And I just, like, Martin Scorsese, I say this all the time, Martin Scorsese and I have a love him, attitude. Like, he makes some movies that I really like, and then he makes some movies that I'm like, honest to God, can you just send me the script so I can read through it and not have to waste all this time watching it. This was not that movie. It's a true story about the guy wrote the book after prison, but still he's a salesman. He's still doing like motivational speeches. He's still like, you know what? You can do all this, go to jail and still come back and motivate people to sell shit. And I just don't think any other actor besides Leonardo DiCaprio could pull off this role. It was everything you want from something. It was like you saw little shades of Basketball Diaries from him. You saw like the romantic obsessing over a woman part of him. Like, you just saw there was so many different parts of this and just the fucked upness of Basketball Diaries. I kept thinking that. I'm like, thank God he already made that movie. So we all believe he probably did heroin at some point.
But I've never seen that movie.
Oh my God, it's so, 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 so good. And you'll understand why, like, I believe Leonardo DiCaprio can do no wrong. I've just seen Basketball Diaries.
I feel like I might watch it tonight.
I think it's him and Mark Wahlberg.
It is.
So he is just so good in this, and the story just never stops. It is laugh out loud funny almost the entire way through of people being despicable. It is the most despicable people on the planet with all the worst behaviors, and all you're thinking is, I would never do that. Like, I would absolutely never cross that line, but while you're watching them cross the line, you're like, but it looks like it was probably a little bit of fun. Like, you know every minute of that movie. Oh, you're going to go to prison for this or someone's just going to kill you. But they do like dwarf tossing, which is always funny. There's never a situation where dwarf tossing is not funny.
God.
Okay, now we're at dwarf. Wow, we've covered a lot of territory today.
Yes, we have.
So, I mean, it really is. And I'm honestly don't know between American Hustle and that, which one I think is the best movie. Like, Gravity is an amazing accomplishment. And I loved it, and I saw it like 3 or 4 times. But I honestly did not have the good time that I had at American Hustle, which used a Donna Summer song prominently for a big scene. Or this movie, which I honestly giggled. I spent like 2 hours and 59 minutes giggling through the whole thing.
Oh.
And the whole audience was laughing. I was like, is this like a Jennifer Aniston comedy? And the other night I watched We're the Millers on demand.
Isn't it so fun? Didn't we already talk that? Because you told me to see it.
Fucking hysterical. So I just want to, if you have not seen it, it's now on demand and on video. And that movie is fucking funny. We're the Millers. Let me think. Looking starts, I think, next Saturday or Sunday on HBO, and that is with the really hot, hot hottie from Glee, who is from Spring Awakenings, who I forgot to write down his name. Gay guy in San Francisco looking for love, real gay sex. Supposed to be a really hot show. Wow. Why is his name escaping me? But I can't think of it. And
hot guy from Glee.
He was Rachel's pretend boyfriend.
He was in Frozen
boyfriend.
Also.
Yes, yes, he's in Frozen. He's the voice
of guy.
He's the voice of the prince in Frozen.
Glee. Let's see what comes up.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
I was thinking Harry Shum Jr., the other Asian,
other
the
Asian.
Dancer.
No, it's Jesse Gordon Taylor Tyler Ferguson. He's got like three names: Jonathan Groff,
Because I look up hot guy from Glee, and it's literally like 15.
Yeah,
there's 16 different.
There really
guys.
Are like five people to masturbate on that show every minute.
Not in Beaverton, Oregon.
Jonathan Groff, and it looks dirty and sexy, and it's supposed to be very gritty and very like the sex is real. Everything's like on the up and up. This is not like titillating TV. It's real gay TV. It starts, I think, next weekend.
Oh my God, I want to watch it.
And Matthew McConaughey and, oh God, what's the stoner's name? From Cheers.
From Cheers?
Jesus Christ. I think
Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson.
Hell was stoned on
Cheers? It's called True Detective. And I'm like, okay, now Matthew McConaughey Matthew McConaughey's in The Wolf of Wall Street and steals the movie from the rest of them. It's like his 10th movie this year, and now he's got a miniseries coming out on HBO. I'm like, do you sleep, sir? Or
Jonathan Groff is hot, and I also just googled Jonathan Groff, hot gay TV, and I got naked pictures of him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gay. He's out gay, and his boyfriend is really super cute, too. I've seen a couple shows with his boyfriend.
This is happening.
Clearly, I've lost all names now. I've eaten a chicken wing, and everybody's name has gone up my door.
Goodness gracious. This is like porn television. Porn computer right now.
Right, it's supposed to be very... very realistic sex on there.
Penis parade is now what I'm looking at. So,
that is all your entertainment news, and I just want to let you know that somebody else from Gone with the Wind died.
We need to touch on that. You got a couple minutes here. Several people have passed in the past few days.
Yeah, that
weeks.
Was the one that surprised me, and she played Ashley Wilkes' sister, and I can't think what Ashley Wilkes' sister's name is. Maybe Olivia Olive.
Died.
But she's dead. And I think she was...
So Olympia de Havilland's like freaking out.
That's what I said.
Wagons are circling for Olympia de Havilland.
Alicia Rhett.
Alicia Rhett.
Rhett, yes.
Who did she play? Wilkes.
Hold, please.
And at a... that's a studio shot. Yeah, that's... I remember seeing that one.
Oh. Oh, God. You're going to say...
Yeah.
It's
her biography, Gone with the Wind. Rhett was the spin of a role, Gone with the Wind.
India Wilkes.
India Wilkes.
Olivia.
Sister of plantain
India.
Owner Ashley Wilkes.
Ashley Wilkes, yeah.
Got it.
So dead. Who
or
knew
plantation.
She was alive?
Also, not plantain.
So now they're doing the big anniversary thing in Atlanta, and this will be the 75th, I think. That doesn't seem right. 39, 70 years would be 09. Yeah, 75th anniversary. They're doing the showing of another restoration of Gone with the Wind. Robert Osborne from... Turner Classic Movies is hosting. He's trying to fly Olivia de Havilland over from France, and it turns out this woman was on the guest list because she was still spry and in pretty good shape
and just
right until
dropped.
She died. And it sounds like from her biography that she was a big old lesbanian artist and like kind of left front of the camera and behind the
lesbanians
scenes.
Lesbanians, I like them.
But I'm not sure if that's actually true, but in reading her... her obituary, that's how it sounded. And then, completely off topic, and I don't know what the hell my fascination was with Roger Ebert, but turns out I have some psychic connection to him. Remember I told you when he died, I needed time and I needed to be somewhere private to read his obituary?
Okay.
Because he was going to fucking kill me?
Yeah.
Well, in the end of year Entertainment Weekly, everyone, all the obituaries for the notable people that we lost, not all of them, but like a good 20, 25, they had actual friends, co-workers, or associates write their obituaries. Like Ryan Murphy wrote Corey Monteith's, and it was actually just it was his eulogy. He just sent them the eulogy, and he's like, "Print this," and it was heartbreaking. But Martin Scorsese wrote Roger Ebert's, and it was 3 paragraphs long. I was on the toilet sobbing like a little girl. What just as much of a movie freak as I was, and I think that's why I like Robert Ebert so much. He was so unapologetic about being a movie lover. That to read Martin Scorsese thanking him for, like, and they're both archivists, like, they were both into the preservation of film and seeing film and recommending good movies and to Roger Ebert, who loved movies, and Martin Scorsese, who's just a student of film, and him, just his appreciation for all that. I was heartbroken reading this thing. I'm like, I wanted to go to lunch with the two of you and just talk about old movies. I wanted to be the person that never seen any movies in a conversation. So it was very touching. The Entertainment Weekly, all the tributes to the dead were lovely.
So going back to the Olympia de Havilland thing, any word from her camp on it, whether she's going to make an appearance at this 75th?
They don't know whether or not she'll be alive in April.
Well, that's a good point. April, that's 4 months away, right?
Yeah. But I'm assuming that Robert Osborne is going to announce soon whether or not she's agreed to it. And I don't know what shape she's in.
Well, she's 95?
Right, but when was the last time she was seen in public?
Like, yeah, what, so we don't know how...
Right.
If the paint's come off that ship.
Right. Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. Like, wow. How much paint you got to put back on it?
Something like that. Absolutely.
So wow. That's interesting. To me.
To you. And to others, I'm sure.
And to Martin Scorsese.
Who's still alive.
And making great movies. I got to tell you, that was the shit.
We are the end of hour two, going into what we call hour three, our third and final hour. We do 3 hours live each Tuesday night right here from Studio C. Everybody listening in the United States, Australia, Spain, Philippines, and Malaysia, welcome.
Hey.
All over the world are listening to us. Donnie is somewhere, my mom, various other people. Thank you for listening, watching, however it is you enjoy our show. Another hour coming up, Katie June coming back with sports and other stuff in just moments. Also, thoughtful vulgarity, and Marnie has decided to leave the studio. We're not really sure why, but we'll get her back in just a few minutes.
She's trying to milk that beaver. I am out of here.
We don't know what she's doing, but we'll find out. Stick around, more coming up in just moments.
You've been listening to The Show on Hugh Talk America. This is Cue Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening once again, 9 o'clock, hour 3, as we kick off this final hour of our first show of 2014. I am Clayton McKee. Thank you for joining us, along with Katie and Marnie and Al. We're enjoying some pizza and boneless wings and, of course, a drink or two. That's what we have, especially in the third hour, for God's sakes. We start the drinking game in hour 2, and tonight our drinking word is brouhaha.
Oh, what a great brouhaha.
If you would ever hear us say brouhaha, feel free to take a nip of your own beverage at home, no matter what you're having. I'm not sure what an afternoon drink would be in Australia. Tomo, let us know. What would your afternoon beverage of choice be?
A Cosmo.
By the way, he's on a summer holiday is what they're on right now. He doesn't go back to work.
I'm sorry.
It's summer in Australia. Yeah. So he is on a summer holiday, doesn't go back for till the 16th. So he's on a vacation, which is very nice.
That's nice.
So he is not enjoying a polar Arctic vortex.
Right,
no, but I'd just be curious to know what beverage is of choice in the afternoon on the lovely, whatever, what is it to see? It's their Wednesday afternoon there, so it's tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
Yes, so we'll find out, I'm sure, in some way, shape, or form. But at this time, at this point in our lovely evening, I think it's time for Katie June and some sports.
And other stuff.
This week in sports. Dennis Rodman. So what? They're BFFs. Little newcomer called Crimson Tide. That's what I'm talking about. Somebody in sports is fired by a bigot. Sad, sad, sad for Lindsey Vonn and the ski team. A former boxing champ sparks outrage by his gay comments. The BCS? I don't know. Everybody hates it. And more in sports.
And other stuff.
And other stuff.
Probably every year you could write that.
Yeah, so we've actually got mostly sports today. So Dennis Rodman, we were talking about this actually a little bit earlier before the show started.
He's crazy.
So he went to North Korea for the second time. Now, I actually didn't realize that he was there again for the second time. I was telling
you. It was like fourth or fifth.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I was telling Al that I had watched the really incredible, I also have this in my notes, Vice is a documentary show on HBO. And if you're not watching it, you are missing out.
It comes on right after Real Time with Bill Maher.
I can't afford it.
I know.
I know you can't, but you can probably Google it. Maybe. It's worth it. It's the most Vice is the most incredible documentary show. It's like just enough to keep your attention about things that you want to know about. I had written some of them down, as a matter of fact. Gavage in Mauritania, which is this practice of force feeding women to make them fatter for marriage in this crazy West African country. Dennis Rodman in North Korea. They talk a lot about the European Union economic crisis. Really cool videos. It's Gavage, right? Are you still like...
No, I'm just... You force feeding people to marry them.
So Gavage is the same thing that they do to get pate, which is goose liver. And when you're... completely... essentially unethical to the treatment of these geese.
Okay.
They force feed them so that their liver gets so big that it eventually it bursts essentially in their bodies. And it's too big for them to sustain life, the geese. But they take the liver out and they feed it to people like me. I feel bad, but I eat
By
it.
By the way, do you remember we tried that? Oh, God, that was so gross.
But I love pate.
So now you
got to
do is
sad.
Get somebody that only eats at McDonald's because they have that same fatty liver problem.
Actually, there's another story about that,
which
is weird.
It was a great story.
Yeah, but so in Mauritania is a poor country in West Africa, and they used to say that women that were hefty, that had weight on them, it meant that you were wealthy enough to eat food, and so men wanted to marry women that were wealthy enough to eat. But now it's kind of gotten so backwards. Men want to marry women that are healthy enough, that are wealthy enough to be force fed. So force feeding is a beautiful thing. It's very sad. These girls are. This is so off topic of sports,
doesn't sound like a sports story.
No, it's other stuff. But these girls are. Essentially, they're beaten by their mothers. Small girls are being force fed goat's milk and rice and yeast and flour in this weird mixture. And when they vomit because their stomachs can't hold it. And their mothers are beating them so that they will continue to eat. It's really nuts. Those are for young girls. Yeah, those are young girls. There are older girls they send out into the desert for days at a time, and you're watching this. And the people that are doing the reports on this show, again, called Vice on HBO, this guy is trying to keep up with these girls, eating with them. And he can't stop throwing up because he's force feeding himself a mixture of goat's milk and flour, and they're just mixing it into balls and shoving it into their mouths. It's bizarre, but it is like this
practice. It's like a cookie dough diet.
It really is. And it's, but it's really,
I didn't even bother to talk about the show because I thought no one would ever
it's
watch
really,
it.
It's really, it's crazy because, you know, you think when I thought Kelly and I were talking about is the difference between America where women are literally starving themselves for beauty. Yeah. And in Mauritania and certain African countries, others perhaps, they are...
Gluttony.
They are literally forcing them food down their throats for beauty. So it's just this very, very, very sad. But there's another one about the crazy wealth disparity in Mumbai and India and the slums versus like the ridiculously wealthy people. Yeah. One of them is about Dennis Rodman going... And actually Vice was one of the kind of the catalysts for getting... Dennis Rodman and the Harlem Globetrotters into North Korea a few years ago, perhaps when it was initially done. And now Dennis Rodman, while he was there, formed a relationship with Kim Jong-un, who is the new young dictator. And
crazy as well.
Mm-hmm. Also crazy. The best part is when you're watching this Vice, they keep kind of going through. And North Korea is really into American basketball because... Years and years ago, Margaret Thatcher took them as a kind of a peacekeeping thing. A basketball
Not
signed.
Margaret Thatcher. Madeleine
Albright.
Albright.
When I was saying Margaret Thatcher, I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Thank you, Madeleine Albright. Takes a basketball signed by Michael Jordan.
I am not Madeleine Albright.
They now have this in like a glass case. It's amazing. Great. They love basketball. Point is. Anyway, they go over, and it is just really funny because the guy on Vice, the host, is going, all of a sudden, why is Dennis Rodman about to speak? And multiple times through this trip, they keep giving Dennis Rodman a microphone, and he's speaking in North Korea, and he's like, anyway, thanks, guys. We love basketball. We love you. Cut to Dennis Rodman now genuinely believes that he is like the ambassador of peacekeeping in North Korea. So he just went again, or he's there. currently. With some other basketball.
For a birthday game for Kim, right?
Yeah. Isn't tomorrow his birthday?
Which is totally insane. So he has this conversation with CNN this morning or today. They have an interview with CNN. When they ask him with Chris Cuomo, and Chris starts asking him about the guy who is, his name's Kenneth Bay, who has been kept since November of 2012 as a political prisoner. Anyway, Dennis Rodman loses his shit.
Yeah.
So I posted it on our Facebook page. So please go out and check it out,
or just turn on CNN if you have cable, because they
apparently
are going,
I haven't been watching it. This is kind of all that it is. Dennis Rodman really loses his shit. He's legitimately nuts. Like, he thinks he's doing a good thing. He's only doing bad things.
He's at Jenny McCarthy crazy now. He's
I think he's crazier. He's crazier, Jenny McCarthy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Also,
no,
you can, whether you want to or not, you can understand what Jenny McCarthy is saying.
Right. Exactly. Although you're trying to turn off your decipher code.
Exactly. You don't want to hear what she's saying, but you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman, on the other hand, I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, he's nutso. And he's yelling like, what did he do? And Chris Cuomo's like, I don't know. What did he do? Please enlighten us. Because this gentleman has been held as a political prisoner
without charges
since November of 2012. So please check that out on our Facebook page and on CNN. It's pretty crazy. In other news, Alabama couple names baby Crimson Tide.
Oh, no.
Can you believe they're shocked by the backlash? They can't believe it. Summer and Steven Steele, who are from the small town of, I'm going to probably pronounce this wrong, Andalusia, Alabama, named their son after University of Alabama's football team, the Crimson Tide, with a C. They actually named him Crimson Tide with a K. K-R-I-M-S-O-N-T-Y-D-E. The couple told the Alabama media group that they're big Alabama football fans.
Apparently.
The baby boy, Crimson Tide Steele, was born on December 17th, and his story quickly went viral after being posted on Twitter. The best and or worst part is that there's another Alabama family, big fans, also named their son Crimson Tide. So pretty sad, pretty sad.
That's, again, that's a meaty beaver. I mean, that's just wrong.
It is.
Beefy.
It's called a
beefy.
Beefy vagina.
And the other family... The other family named their son Crimson Tide, and a daughter named Alabama.
Oh,
that's
on.
Ridiculous.
Yep. A-L-L-E-I-G-H, middle name.
Crimson and Clover,
Bama.
Over and over.
Yeah. So, way to get them, Alabama fans.
Wow.
And in other news, which
you named your daughter after the menstrual cycle you missed.
Crimson Tide. It's really fucking embarrassing. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, no.
I never knew I was pregnant.
Yeah. Didn't get that Crimson Tide. Boom, there he is.
They should have had the app.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, then you'd know.
Maybe.
I'm just saying.
So Marnie will know about this. Who said, let's play a little game. Who said, I was an NFL player until I was fired by two cowards and a bigot?
Chris Cuomo.
Lustful cock monster for $500.
I watched the interview with him and Anderson Cooper last night.
Ooh, I didn't watch it.
Fantastic interview.
Yeah.
Fantastic interview.
I didn't watch it, but he did write this really incredible and very, very long open letter.
He's wordy.
Yeah, he is. And very, very smart,
let's see if
which
we can
we've
him,
discussed
maybe we
previously.
Can get him in on this show.
I know. We've discussed previously.
In-studio guest.
Essentially says...
And he can stay for a week.
Yeah. That he was...
He has
after
time now.
8 years as the punter for the Vikings, he was released from the team. And goes on to talk about how Leslie Frazier, Rick Spielman, and Mike...
Fired head coach.
Pfeiffer. P-R-I is Pfeiffer?
Oh.
P-R-I-E?
I believe it's Pfeiffer.
It's spelled P-R-I-E-F-E-R.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a
misprint.
French, maybe?
Yeah.
No, or a misprint.
But I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Because I would have thought Pfeiffer initially, but then I read Pfeiffer. Anyway, regardless, doesn't matter. Anyway, that he was fired by them. So I was kind of looking to maybe Marn for a little bit more info on the story because it was literally too long for me to read.
Yeah. Also, it is P-R-I-E-F-E-R.
Yeah, so it's like Prefer, maybe.
Pfeiffer.
Yeah. Pfeiffer.
I have always, when I've paid attention, I've never seen it in writing.
It's almost like, what's that other football player with the name?
Ian Bedeo?
No. God damn it.
With the name. Just the one.
Just the one. Just the one with the name. Just that one
associated with
the name.
Basically, he's saying that during his tenure with the Vikes, all of a sudden, As he decided to start speaking out, he had checked with human resources. He had checked with everyone. Can I do this? As long as you don't bring the Vikings into it, it's okay. And you just, it's your opinions. Well, then things started. Leslie Frazier called him in and basically said, knock it off. He's the coward in the story. And right. And then this Mike, however you say his last name, the special teams coach, all of a sudden everything was very homophobic. And his response, like very homophobic, his responses and statements to and or toward Chloe whenever he would be out practicing. And this was during all of the 2012 season last year. So it was pretty interesting to read that and how he kind of stayed away from saying anything. And now, of course, everyone is saying, no, sorry, guys, that's not true. But they'll very seriously, the Vikings take it all very seriously and will thoroughly review this matter.
An internal investigation was started, yeah. According to what Chloe said. Because he was talking about, and I'm just going to oddly chime in on a sports story because I woke up and was able to watch it. He said that Anderson Cooper asked him if a legal action was still possible. And he actually said, I'd really prefer not to go that route since they have started an internal investigation. I'm going to let that run its course and we'll see what happens with that. Aside from that, you know, it's not off the table, but it's something I'd rather not do. Mm-hmm. He said, and I thought it was interesting in the interview when Anderson asks him, and I'm sure it's either on CNN.com or YouTube. It was just last night on AC360. He said he knew something was up. He had, all of his performances, all of his critiques, he'd been above board, everything, no problem. He was fulfilling his duties, doing everything he was asked to do, yada, yada, yada. But he realized when they hired another punter, something was up.
Right. He was average. He wasn't good. He wasn't bad. He was just average.
He actually was one of the best punters in the NFL and is considered one of the best punters in the NFL.
Oh, no. He wasn't. As you, even he puts out in his record that he was like middling.
For this last year or two. Yeah. Right. But before that, he was just, and all of a sudden all this stuff started happening. And even I said during, when Buddy was still with us and everything else, well, not that he died, but you know, in the studio, that yeah, I'm not real thrilled because he used to kick the hell out of the ball and be great. And then you look up and be like, really? What is your mind on something else here?
He had a big knee injury. He's also especially for a punter, he's old. He's eight seasons. This would be his ninth season, but he had a knee injury. He's nine season in where a punter doesn't stay all that long. That's a very long career.
Typically, right?
So him leaving is not.
It wasn't shocking.
It's not shocking.
No. And I believe the Vikings, it was asked.
And they said that. So the one thing that was funny in the AC360 was he was like, well, they really don't need any more shit because they suck this year. Like, this is like their worst year in years.
Yeah, so they Vikings.
They could blame it on, well, we got rid of our kicker. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
There was a lot of shit going on that they're like, they're going to fire the coach anyways. So it doesn't matter what he did. He did get fired, right?
He did. Yeah. Thank God. And it just said their response, any notion that Chris was released from our football team due to his stance on marriage equality is entirely inaccurate and inconsistent with team policy. He was released strictly based on his football performance. And I don't know that.
Like, he had a bum knee.
He did. And he had to have surgery in the off season. But then they bring in this younger punter, and then they drafted a punter in like the fifth round or something, which is unheard of.
Especially when they need so much other shit because they
suck. Yeah, right. Yeah,
it might have been good to get a little higher up on that.
Might have been really good.
Side note: I was talking about Brett Favre. Spelled wrong. Last name.
F-A-V-R-E.
Yeah, it's Favre. So this guy could be Pfeffer.
You never know, really.
They're all assholes in football. So bad news about him. We're sad.
Yeah.
Sad for Lindsey Vonn. She's beautiful. She dates Tiger Woods. That's sad, number one. And she's no longer going to be... Oh, she's beautiful. That's great. Tiger Woods, not so great.
Mm. It's like Katy Perry went from Russell Brand to John Mayer.
In my humble opinion, IMHO. It's bad for her. Tiger Woods, boo. So she's going to miss the Sochi Olympics. It's official. And if you've seen any of
I didn't think she was going to make it anyway. Based on all of the reports and how much trouble she had.
I was surprised last week that they were still contemplating that she was going to make it.
I agree.
I was like, Who on the mountain thinks she's going to do this for real?
Yeah, no, I definitely thought like she was over after
she's
her,
gonna
she
come in like 160th place after you, me, and the parking lot.
Yeah, she was literally crying.
And I don't even know how to ski.
Right,
so.
And three of us weren't even on the mountain.
Beautiful mountain.
Right. We know that she...
I placed ahead of her. Good.
God, and what did she tear here?
Oh, everything.
Everything. But there was something... She had surgically restored her ACL.
That's right, ACL.
But then she...
Didn't she tear
back,
something that was new and nobody knew existed?
Like, sprained her MCL in a late race last month. But then they determined not only did she sprain it, it wasn't there. Her MCL was gone. Like it had been repaired and been then disintegrated. Like gone. Like it's
so she's not
torn.
Playing with the full knee.
No. Oh, God. Yeah. She said
she's the same thing that's in those chicken wings. Parts is parts, you know,
right? She said, "I did everything I could possibly do, and somehow not strong enough to overcome my ACL, or not strong enough to overcome having no ACL." So that's the ACL. It's very sad. She still wants to get back out of the mountain. She's still talking about like getting it recovered.
Sure, Joe Montana still wants to throw that ball.
I feel like
Sonny Bona would love to ski again, but that's not happening.
I know. That's
I had a dream.
That's what I'm saying. Like at some point, you have to just kind of, you know, like
Skeeper
accept
fun.
It.
I want to be a swimwear model. It's
but
not
it
going to
really,
happen.
But it's sad when you're someone who when you you're,
not everyone can be a plus size model. I can't.
When you're when all you want to do is the Olympics, I mean, to watch her crashes, both of them. I was watching them on the news again today. It's very sad. Mm-hmm. And the team is sad. The team isn't apparently looking, they're looking okay. They're not looking like big-time gold medalists. And she was a hopeful, so.
That vanilla honey doesn't come out of everybody.
Speaking of the Sochi Olympics, have you seen in the past, probably the last 24 hours, it may have been last night in conjunction with me seeing the Chris Cluey interview, they were showing, and it really bothered me. They were showing footage of people in Russia that are protesting, you know, against, I guess, are they protesting for or are they protesting against, whichever.
Against
the gay ban, all that stuff. And people are just getting the shit beat out of them.
By everybody.
And it's I was so taken aback by it.
Two days before Christmas, that guy in Uganda, because of
he was burned alive.
Burned alive on train tracks with children just standing there, blank-faced watching. And that's our Christian missionaries at work.
Yeah.
It's American Christian missionaries that went over and helped them form those laws. Now, the three guys that went over there are all saying, no, we just listened. But nothing in your Christian speaking made you speak out against
that. Maybe
this?
Someone shouldn't burn alive. Right. Yeah, it's really disgusting. I had a lot of long conversations with my mom about it. She's a Christian who is very liberal and has some really interesting people that she follows on Facebook. There's a gajillion of them. We had a long conversations, but
I'm just really concerned.
The thing about Sochi is that I was listening to an article or a report where they said the IOC has never gotten involved. And I don't know if this to be true. I took it from what I heard. Now, it was on NBC.
They don't even get involved
in this
country's
politics. They don't get involved
in
local politics.
Yes,
and that makes sense. You're the Olympic Committee. Mm-hmm. And I get, and the problem is that the Olympics talks about fostering goodwill between nations and people. And so if that's your job, then you should get involved where there are egregious crimes against humanity and you know the minority populations but it is a very it's a sensitive subject. And Kelly and I talked today, do we as Americans, do we shame and ban our Olympians where they have nothing to do with this and they have worked their whole lives to go to the Olympics and they can't, it's not the Olympians' fault.
But we're sending many of them into danger.
Right. So that's my other question.
It's
so
the Winter Olympics.
We're sending
it's ice dancing, for the love of Jesus.
Yeah, but
we are sending Billie Jean King, Brian Boitano.
Intentionally,
as representatives. Not to mention, like he said, all the prancer-sized kids that are going to be out on the ice doing that. There's no hiding.
But you know what? Are we sending?
No. They have a choice to go. My question is, how are we as the U.S., who's protecting these kids? Because my concern is, you know, it's like you get one of the slower sheep out of the herd. If somebody is caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, I'm not saying they're going to go outside of the Olympic Village, but we don't know what the fuck's going
to
happen over there.
I think they have to be really careful, but I don't think you can say that. I think, like, yes, we're sending the gay ice dancers, whatever, and we are purposely sending gay
ambassadors.
Previous ambassadors.
Right.
But, you know... Johnny Joe, who's an ice dancer, he didn't grow up thinking, gosh, I sure want to rebel against Russia's gay laws. He grew up thinking, I want to ice dance. And now, oh my God, I'm at the Olympic level. What's he supposed to do? Just say, God, you know what? You're right, Russia. You guys suck and I'm staying home.
Remember at the last, were they in Vancouver? Where was the Summer Olympics just 2 years ago? Was it Vancouver?
No, Vancouver was winter. Last Winter Olympics.
What was the last Summer Olympics?
It wasn't China, was it?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, no, it was in London.
London.
Thank you.
Remember the London Games where they gave out the condoms? And then they needed to give out another round of condoms, and then they realized there weren't enough condoms in the world.
Right.
Because everyone there was like, we're here to hook up.
Yeah, it's the Olympic Village.
I have an Olympic body, you have an Olympic body, we're
Let's
in the Olympic
do it.
Village. And they found out that...
Hit it.
That the level of like prostitution was up. And we did the story, but the level of gay prostitution
was huge.
Yeah.
Because of all the people that were like, oh, I want to go sleep with people that have the same body as I do.
Right.
Like,
But what do we do as American spectators? We want to support our Olympians. It's not fair to ask them to not go.
I say you watch it all on tape delay. You don't watch one thing live and don't support a commercial. Like, fast forward, you just got to hit them where the money is.
Yeah, that's what I was telling Kelly. We can't support Coke, and we can't support NBC, which we drink Coke and watch NBC. But maybe that's out.
But again, has anybody heard anything in regards to security for our...
No, and they're saying it's not safe. That's absolutely
They are
not
saying
safe.
That.
Yeah, there were the bombs safe. That were outside.
No, I knew
well,
there were the two bomb things that get
all that.
For
those reasons.
But I think
they
they're just
say,
testing the waters.
But they did say, and again, you believe this as far as you can throw it. Yeah. Apparently the report was, I want to say 1,500 acres, square acres, or whatever it was, maybe it was 1,500 miles, around the entire area where Sochi is. It's an impenetrable military blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no, not at all. That is a very small area.
That was what was said on...
The bomb that went off was only 400 miles away.
Then it's 1,500 acres around or something. I forget what it is. But they were saying that the military in Russia has got this impenetrable line of defense around this village for attacks like this, that there the bombings that happened, a couple of them. I'm just more concerned with – I just fear that there's going to be somebody on the inside of this. There's going to be something ugly that's going to happen, and our people – not that I – I guess I should. I'm more concerned with our boys and girls than I am with anybody of other countries. Right.
Well,
I don't want somebody.
No, they've already told them, gay athletes
from all over.
And I think
they told them already. We will not protect you.
And I think that
you
have to just say
where you are illegal, and we have no intention.
But at the same time,
they keep saying it over and over again.
I'm not trying to be Russia, but I am going to say if you are an Olympic caliber athlete, this is what you've worked for your whole life. Go there for the Olympics. Don't go to hook up. Don't go to have sex. And I know that sucks because you're adults and you should be able to do what you want. But you're going into a country that has these laws. Abide by them.
Do you want to
Whether
die?
You agree with them or not, I certainly don't agree with them.
Right.
But if I go to Russia, I'm not going to hold hands with Kelly down the middle of the street and make out with her in
the
square.
But that's Johnny Weir's argument that this law doesn't really affect anybody. It's about people that want to butt fuck in front of the library.
It does affect people, but it's their law, and we're not a part of their country.
That's what they're saying. Like, nobody from the last... When they did the condom thing at the Olympic Village, it was a joke.
Right.
When that company handed out the condoms, and then they realized, oh, fuck. Like, this is... You've got all these people horny, pumped up, ready to go, full of adrenaline, all attractive, at their physical peak. They're all 20 years old.
They want to do it.
I'm sorry, you're going to fuck.
Well, and like, fine.
I don't care if Sarah Palin goes over
there. I suppose be cautious.
Them,
I mean, ultimately, this is not your country. They don't have to abide by the same. Yes, we want them to have humanitarian laws, but they don't. Right. It's fucking Russia, and they don't have to have them, and they're not the United States, and...
But
it's
now you want
horrible for the people that live there. I don't disagree, but it's the same thing as like, we've got, this is kind of a stretch, but they're talking on the news a lot about lately how we went into Iraq to like stabilize the society. And now the United States troops are gone and Al-Qaeda's back bigger and better than ever. Like U.S. can't go in and fix everywhere else. They have to do it for themselves. And we can't impose our beliefs.
Right.
You know, there are 73% of polled Russians are adamantly against homosexual behavior. You have to let them come to terms with it on their own time. And I don't like it, and nobody else likes
it. But now you're expecting people from 16, like Greg Louganis was in his first Olympics at 16.
Right.
16 to, what? Your oldest is 30. Like, if you're 30 in the Olympics, you're practically a grandmother. You're expecting these people, at the peak of their physical prowess,
right,
all adrenaline, all pumped up to all of a sudden make good life decisions.
I think you have to just be very cautious. They need to know what they're going into. But you think the snowboarder stoners
are all of a sudden going to make great decisions?
No, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, we're leaving security up to people who really, this is not what they're thinking about. They're thinking about, I look great. I'm good at what I do. I'm about around a bunch of people that are at my level finally. Right. I'm not dance for grandma anymore. I've got the world literally sucking my dick, so now I'd like someone to actually suck my dick.
Well, and I think the expectation
that these people are all going to act like Sarah Palin's children
and they're
is completely unrealistic.
And I don't.
So we have to make sure they're safe.
Yes, I agree with you.
What about chaperone kind of people?
Right.
I mean, yeah. If that's an
their handlers, their agents, their coaches, their and just also like yes, but it's the same thing as you give like a prepubescent boy like a driver's license and he's going to go out even in the United States and just bang chicks like he's horny and he looks good and they look good, so what, he can go knock them up and have unprotected sex? Like, be safe,
right? But you have to
don't
educate
be foolish.
Them, right?
You know, but their parents can't protect them all the time from things.
But now think of the other thing you have, and this is what NBC keeps bringing up. It's the NBC talent that's going.
Right.
You're sending over not just the on-camera people. Where at ABC, everyone's gay, but NBC, they're all still in the closet. But you have all the people that do the makeup, the hair, the technicians, the grips. Like, there are so, there is a world of NBC coming there.
Yeah.
And they're absolutely telling them, we cannot guarantee your safety.
Right.
Well, the minute they're not in the Olympic, the minute an athlete is killed.
Yeah. They're not in the Olympic
Village. I
don't
want to know what's going to happen.
Well, it will change dramatically at that point. But I also just think, again, and I don't mean to be like the...
That's what you were talking about.
No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. What in the fuck is going to happen? The second we find out, not even to the extreme of death, what if there's a beating? What if there is an apprehended for whatever reason and questioned for a period of time? Any of that.
Right.
And if you work for NBC and all of a sudden you have to go over there and they're... telling you on the air, we're not guaranteeing your safety.
Right.
You're not in the Olympic Village because they don't stay there. They have to stay where
then, and you have to, then I guess at NBC's perspective, you have to just say, you know, you have to be the employee that says, well, then I'm not comfortable going and I'm not going to do it for whatever reason.
Right.
And again, it's that if I worked for NBC, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to know as an employee or an Olympic athlete, I'm gay. It's not accepted here. Whether I like it or not, it's just not. So I'm going to be smart.
So what if NBC runs your profile and that's your heartwarming story before your event?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so be it.
I mean, NBC will exploit anything.
Well, and then we go back to the NSA, because you know Russia's got an NSA, maybe called the KGB. They can pull any information. So whatever you've got on Facebook or online or any other shit,
that's true.
They know exactly who you are. So if you're a grip or a cameraman for NBC and nobody has ever seen you on camera ever in your life, you've got a profile. You live with your husband Scott in New York City. Blah, I'm just using the name Scott because they're all Scott and Steve, and they have track lighting.
Yeah,
I'm going to guess that, you know, somebody over there is going to be pumped. Like, okay, these people are coming to this country. Yeah. Here's who we're looking for, and they're watching. Yeah, I believe.
Who knows?
That.
I mean, I would hope maybe that it's not going that deep, but I.
And with China, it's a human rights violation. You know, I mean, we all drank the Kool-Aid. We all are using their products that are being made by. We're all. Consumers of slave labor. But there was never any question that they were going to take Michelle Kwan and turn her into a slave and make her make, you know what I mean? There's a difference between, like, it's a very subtle and not a very enlightened stance to take, but at least we knew as athletes they weren't going to take Americans and make them be in that opening number.
Right.
You know what I mean? Here, getting beaten to the ground on public television
and it's happening regularly.
It's happening regularly.
Horrible.
Not to mention the terrorist attacks that are now closer than any attack has ever been to an Olympic
Village.
Now,
that doesn't
village.
Have anything to do, though, with
No,
their...
but it's just an unsafe place. Right. Like, Russia is completely unstable.
Right.
And as Harrison and I were
And they're clearly
talking
trying
about,
to prove... Look at how great we are. We can host the Olympics, but they can't.
It's not a winter site.
Right.
It's a resort. It's a very, very fancy
resort. They never thought about the fact that it really doesn't get winter here.
It's not cold. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not a winter venue. They don't have snow. Like, there's no reason to be here. Yeah. Like, none whatsoever.
It almost all, and I don't want
to. But just Google Sochi and read about this place. They have nothing to do with winter.
It feels almost like this is a whole conspiracy to get people there.
Yeah.
In some ways, it really feels like there's something is going on.
Like you think
on
they're just driving them there to do bad things.
That almost sounds like that.
Yeah.
Sure. Like the
it's like, we got furnaces ready. Let's go.
And I don't trust it.
I don't
that
trust it at all.
That wouldn't happen. Yeah.
No.
I guess maybe I'm just too like naive, but I just don't think that that is going to happen in this day.
As soon as you Google Sochi.
Or Google. Google it.
Google it. Google it. It's a new company.
Googling.
Trademark pending. Google Sochi and find out, like, why did they win the Winter Olympics? Like, what made them be the winner over places that have, like, I don't know, mountains?
Real snow.
And snow, like...
Oh, yeah, here's the first picture that comes up is, like, palm trees and sunshine.
And tell me what sea it's on, because I keep getting that wrong. Is it on the Black Sea or the Caspian Sea?
Oh, sorry, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page, and I don't see their... Oh, Black Sea.
Black Sea's on the Black Sea. It's a resort destination in a warm climate.
That's interesting. Huh. And I did see that they're making like mounds and mounds of snow, and they're covering it with these gigantic metal, these huge metal capsules. Oh, yeah. They're like making all this.
It doesn't snow there.
Snow.
No, I know, but like, what?
They're covering it with these big metal capsules, and they're like screwing them into the ground. So if you go there, there's like metal mountains, like big metal looking hills. Wow. And underneath is all this snow that they're making and freezing.
It's crazy.
In case they run out.
It makes sense for Clayton to go to Vegas to bring back snow for Charlie's.
Right.
That does not make sense.
No.
It's actually interesting, Al. Just what you're talking about. All the pictures on even on the Wikipedia page are all the promenade in Sochi and everyone's in their bathing suits. And
right. That's what everything about the story sounds like. The IOC is back to the days pre-Salt Lake City where it was all bribes and...
Sure. And it could be. It very well could be. I certainly hope, suppose, though, that they're not... That that's not just to, like, trap people.
Oh, I don't think it's to trap people. I think it was just to get money to a resort town in...
Russia.
Be like, ha, 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 look how pretty it is, but it doesn't snow.
But I'm guessing how if this is a horrible failure, obviously they will reconsider and we'll never again go to a town just because how much are you going to pay us? But you don't have snow, you can't have Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Summer Olympics,
it sounds like a lovely place to have an outdoor event.
So why have the Summer Olympics in, you know, the middle of, when would it be snowing? Antarctica.
Right.
You know,
Buffalo, New York right now would be, I mean, my God, there's more snow there than Russia could ever create.
I mean, that's absurd.
I don't know.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Like
the
Summer Olympics
but no
in
mountains.
Montreal.
No mountains there. Yeah.
No mountains.
Isn't that weird?
Two more little quick things. Evander Holyfield hates gays, but he's saying so from the UK celebrity Big Brother house. So that's embarrassing. So just zip it. Yeah, he's in the Big Brother house. And someone said, it'd be great if boxers came out as gay. Apparently unaware that Orlando Cruz has.
Yeah, no kidding.
And that was some other reality star from the UK. And Holyfield said, what would be good about that? That ain't normal. Talked a little bit about the Bible and how you could fix it with gay conversion therapy, although he didn't call it that.
Oh,
he
just for God's sakes,
he
really?
He called it preaching.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
He says, handicapped people are born, but gay people are not.
Because oppression is so much fun.
Ain't nobody is made gay. You ain't gay unless you sleeping with the opposite sex. So that's...
Well, thank you.
At least he understands that part.
I needed some clarification
Very
as to
well
what I was
educated.
Doing.
But I just appreciate that he's making these comments on the UK Big Brother.
Yeah.
Real relevant.
What an asshat.
Yeah, real asshat.
His son did a follow-up today. His son released a statement. I think it's on out.com or theadvocate.com.
Is his son gay?
No, the son's not gay. Oh. But the son also should not be in public speaking.
Okay.
Because he just digs that hole deeper and deeper.
Okay.
And they're like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't be the spokesmodel
Larry,
for this particular
Daryl, and Daryl, please go sit down.
And last but not least, the BCS, the Bowl Championship Series. Well, everybody hates it. Somebody won it last night. Florida, I think, right?
They usually win it. Florida or Ohio.
And it's...
Auburn beat Florida. No?
In the last 13 seconds, wasn't it?
Florida came back. Yeah, Florida won it.
Okay.
Right at the end. And I had a friend who was all, Auburn, I'll love you forever. Okay. Well, college football, so cool it. Yeah.
Settle down.
So here's the thing. I didn't know anything about the Bowl Championship Series. I asked my friend Danny, who's super sports guy, and he said this. To make it brief, it's flawed because there's a computer that decides the matchup by a mathematical formula, and people argue that it needs to be a human that decides, or better yet, a playoff bracket similar to college basketball. Right. He then gives me a series of examples, which I kind of was lost on. He says the BCS had decided after this year to switch to a playoff bracket system. It's so bad that 1 year in 2003, they actually gave two teams a share of the national title because they realized how bad they fucked it up and they didn't put the right two teams in the national championship game. So LSU and USC in 2003 were shared national champions.
It's the most fucked up thing. And like, it'll be the first season, the first game of the season.
Yeah.
And it'll be like number two ranked.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can you be number two?
You haven't actually played a
game yet. And it's college, so I'm hoping somebody graduated.
Yeah. And the biggest thing...
In a perfect world, somebody left for a real reason.
Right. I knew that this was happening in sports on the news, but I was listening to it on KTAR, and Bruce St. James was really talking about how disgusted he was ultimately that, again, about just college bowls in general, that these players are literally eating ramen in college, and there are people outside of them that are making lots and lots of money.
That's one of the biggest
people, you know, the promoters, the coaches, the sponsors, the people who are betting on the games, etc. And the guys who are actually playing the game could barely buy ramen for next weekend.
And they can't, the whole thing is crazy. Paterno was making bajillions of dollars.
Yeah, he was building libraries with the money, and the kids were starving to death on campus. Because it's an entertainment thing.
It's really bad.
But the kids were getting to have sex. So I think they
were paying Disney wages. No, they were raping everybody.
I understand.
So bad.
And you could honestly be getting sex from just about anybody. Why are you raping everybody?
I've said before, and I agree with Harrison completely. I mean, the people eating ramen are getting an education. And, you know, there are a lot of other students that are there going to school eating ramen as well.
Right. So, but these kids aren't getting they're getting brain death.
Yeah.
And they're not getting an education. Like, now it came out that the ones that allegedly graduated in December can't do basic math.
Oh, I saw something. And I believe that. There was something reading at an elementary level.
Yeah, they were reading at an elementary level. So not only are they getting injured and, like, debilitating head injuries that make you shoot people and kill yourself. They also don't have any time for academics, and like they had the list today of like the people that graduated, and like there were like three that could read.
Oh God!
I mean, the article it was on CNN all day. Where is
that?
Today.
I gotta find it.
It's on CNN as well, and they were saying that as long as you could figure out the play, that was good enough. They'll call that
you
algebra.
Could read.
We'll call that algebra. Very nice. So, Katie, is that a wrap?
That's it in
sports and other stuff.
And now. Thoughtful vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, there you have it.
Good morning.
Guten Morgen.
Oh, my God. On Saturday Night Live, I just watched it again, where they had Merkel, the governess, which the hell she is. She's the chancellor of Germany.
Okay.
And she's talking about her. She wants a selfie with Obama. And she's like, I'm not going to mind target on No, I'm not going to Guten Tag it on Facemon. And it's Kate McKinnon, who is just the funniest fucking
you
human
enjoy
alive.
Her, yeah?
Because she does every accent, but in this one, she's Merkel, and she is just fucking hysterical, because she wants a selfie with him, because she didn't get a chance during Mandela's funeral.
Curses,
don't
I miss
worry, I will not Guten Tag you on the Facemon. After you bugged mine phone, and I
bugged mine phone.
Oh, the only thing better than fake French is fake German. It turns out the only thing I like better. All right, let me get the boobs up.
The twins.
So we'll do a variation on an old theme, but so what do you hope you will have accomplished 1 year from today? Like what? Not a resolution or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you hope is, like, completed that you've...
Aaron's house.
Oh.
Wow.
Done. 2004 chili cook-off. Yeah.
And the best part is, I believe you. Not that it'll be done, but that you
no,
want it to
No, exactly,
be.
That I want
if
it to
If it's not done, I think we have a bad rest of the year to go through with you, is no, what my concern is.
No, we're getting there. It's all good. Right. We're okay. But yeah, that I would say that. Yeah.
I think it's mine's pretty easy. You know, Kelly and I have really wanted to have another baby and expand the family, so while it's not like a, it's like a cheesy, like, goal, but I hope to have another baby by the end of this year.
Have it, or at least conceived it.
For God's sakes, at least conceived it. Okay. I mean, I hope to have actually had that baby popped out. Yeah. That is literally a year from now. So I hope. But to have a baby at least in an oven. The bun, whatever. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe stop drinking quite so much.
Yeah. Except on Tuesdays.
This hand has the bun in the oven. This hand stops drinking.
Well, you know, if you do wind up with the bun in the oven, that's just done and done. Yeah. Right. So.
There you go.
What, and in one hand, the show stays good because you're wasted, and the other show, we get less talk from Katie because she's pregnant.
Yeah, but imagine the hormonal fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then if it's the week before you get that shot, Jesus Christ, you two may have to take some
four
time off.
Four times a year.
You two may have to take some time off. I'm just letting you know that. This may become an all-male, sorry, Al, an all-male show for a couple weeks.
When I need my shot, that's really what it is.
There is that.
That was quietly very funny.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry.
For me, I'm going to hope a couple things. And again, I realize this isn't a resolution that we're making, but it's a couple things that I want to do. I definitely want to, I guess, feel better. I want to be better overall in general health and just general well-being. I'm really on a huge organizational kick, and I mean, you've mm-hmm. gone 2 weeks, and I redid the entire shop, and so my world, I'm purging stuff. I'm trying to clean out and get rid of, you know, things that are unnecessary. I donated last week a ton of clothes still
to
the 1 in 10 kids. I donate. I can't even count how many shirts I just donated to them because I realized. All those shirts of all those other varied colors that I own, I don't need them anymore. So all of them left.
All the coloreds are gone.
I colored shirts. And we're not using. Yes, but no. But more organized. And then there's a couple of things just within professional or pseudo professional aspects of my life that I want to bring up to another level. And those are some things that are on the back burner that we'll talk about down the road, if you will. And I hope,
feel a staff meeting coming up.
And I'm hoping at some point down the road I get
hopefully a sexual harassment seminar.
I get
hosted by whom exactly?
Do we have to be on
time? Whoever I offended. Whoever I felt free to offend.
It'll be a surprise meeting when we're all already together.
It's a good call.
Maybe at a sports bar.
Really good
Buddy Early will be there too. We keep him on reserve.
Yay, zips.
And then ultimately I hope someday I get my own Bic 4-color pen.
We're gonna have to work that out.
It is quite the treasure.
We're gonna have to work that
it's
out.
Important.
I put red tape on mine at work and it says Al's pen. I have labeled everything that I own there. I've done everything but pee on shit at the hospital.
You know what?
It's hysterical.
You realize that what I can also do for you is we can engrave shit. Like we could take a pen and actually engrave your name in it. So that there's no way they could take red tape off.
That goes in the coffee cup and the thing. The coffee cup. We got to talk about this coffee cup issue. So we have this box at work where it's like stuff you need to take home or it's going to get thrown out.
Oh, yes.
So it's always my water cup. Now, there's nobody else that drinks 20 ounces of water every 5 minutes but me. And like, there's a picture that was posted of me in New York like 10 years ago with Shane and Mark and Matt Morotzka. And it says, you can tell that's Al because even in sub-zero temperatures, he's got that goddamn bottle of water with him.
Okay.
Because I'm always drinking water.
That's good.
So at work, there's only one person that has the cup with our company name on it, with the lid and a straw that's always by my side, and I put it right above my locker. And I get it. The fire code says you can't have anything 12 inches from the ceiling, so the one manager, who I don't care for very much, is always asking people to clean that out.
Or at all.
So she's always asking people to clean that off for the fire code and put it somewhere. So they put it in this box of stuff you need to take home. So I'm always like, has anybody seen my water cup? And they're like...
Every time.
Why doesn't it go in the locker, may I ask?
Exactly. Well, no, because there's so much shit in the locker that I don't want to...
Well, can you clean the locker out?
No, but I could also dump out the water at the end of my shift, but I just keep drinking the same water when I go back 4 days later.
Got it.
I'm that little girl from Signs that has glasses of water everywhere.
Okay. Yeah, I would pour that out.
Yeah. I don't.
Likewise.
Stomach of steel. There's water in my car. There's water everywhere.
Stomach of steel. Would you like to go back to the Oscars of last year? You want to talk about stomach of steel?
That's because dinner never showed up.
Just leave. I'll be fine.
Jacuzzi. So anyways, it's so funny. So now on my water cup and my coffee cup, because we have a Keurig at work, mm-hmm. So now my coffee cup is on heavy rotation. Oh. It says, this is Al's cup. He works here. Ask about him. So now when if I take a report for someone, I'm like, hi, I'm Al. This is my cup. If I accidentally leave it on this desk, please don't put it in that take this home where we're going to, like, I work here 75 times a week.
Yeah, more than you people.
Just leave it where I left it. I'll find it eventually.
And if you've ever worked with me, like, and it did at the bar, at Taco Bell, at the hospital, doesn't matter where I work, there is my water cup, my coffee cup, whatever else I'm drinking, and then something crunchy for me. Mm. And it just lands.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes it's sunflower seeds. But there's a beverage center, the Al Perkins Memorial Beverage Center
Yours is in my fridge because you haven't taken that blue, which is also a restaurant cup.
That's the cup that they keep.
Yeah. So you've got that in there, and it's got vodka in it. I'm like, would you like? He goes, no, I'll drink it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get around to it.
I don't dump things out. It's still going to be a beverage.
Since we moved to Studio C in September, that vodka's been in my fridge.
Well,
and one day
it's still vodka.
Keeping it around just in case.
So I think this is a good segue into maybe better mental health for me.
Fair enough. I like it.
I think you're well on your path to better mental health for you because, and I go back to this old, the story that I've said many, many a time in regards to my entire key thing. Mm-hmm. If you are dealing with organized things, your keychain or your world or whatever, I think it inherently, like if your car is a mess, your life's a mess. If your car is clean,
I love a clean car.
I think it all just goes right. So I think to you, and though it started before the new year, it was a good segue into 2014.
Oh, definitely.
Nope.
So many things changed and cleaned up in your house and gave you personally more organization. You have this office, you got the paperwork done and it's off and running.
And more space, just more space.
Yep. It's just you're not
walking into yourself.
Right, I don't feel I honestly don't feel like I live in a tiny, tiny house anymore because now there's like another bedroom that's an office and a guest room that now I, as things move out of that into
my actual bedroom, you have a big house.
I feel like you've just permitted yourself to move in.
Oh yeah, I do
kind
too.
Because you were going to leave and
right.
and then
yeah.
now
for
you're
a while.
Like
now he's now
happy.
He's made peace with all of that. Yeah,
but you're happy in your house.
Yeah, I love it. Like all of a sudden, I absolutely love it, and I'm like,
whoa. Oh, and you actually are part of that organization that you don't realize, Marnie.
Oh.
Remember, it's probably 2 years ago, you gave me that gray countertop piece.
Oh, absolutely.
I cut about 6-8 inches off of that. It's now on top of his washer dryer. He has a full shelf.
Good.
Stuff doesn't fall behind washer and dryer.
Good. Gosh, that's good.
So he's getting organized.
So it really is.
I love that you did that. Good.
And it's been a couple years of, you know, car accidents and robberies and break-ins and feeling unsafe that it's finally like, all right, it's time to like exhale and like spread out.
You now live in an impenetrable
fortress. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Well,
that is
and,
ice cold. That is 20 degrees cooler than it is in
and,
the place.
And just vortex. Next door to you, that house is being renovated completely, which makes an entire difference in that neighborhood.
Oh, it really does.
Yeah.
One house makes such a huge difference.
And it's a sense of security, too, to have like stable. Well, it's an empty house, but I'm hoping that it's stable people that move in. Yeah. And, like,
right.
My stable
without a bunch of kids playing basketball outside your window.
Which is fine, because at least nobody's going to break
then it's
in.
People.
People are also going to think, oh, well, we can't do anything in that house. There's 18 kids right there.
Which is actually probably pretty safe.
Yeah, it is. And usually you think that if you see kids playing on the street in a neighborhood where you're moving into, then it's probably a safer neighborhood because somebody's hopefully watching those children.
Yep.
That will also be hopefully watching your kids. Yeah,
okay,
there's a lot of hopefully in that.
So that's our first one. Is there a follow-up on this?
Well,
we have 10 minutes.
I guess there has to be. Well, what was your favorite thing? We'll just be goofy. What was your favorite thing over the break? What was your favorite thing that went on or happened or that you did or didn't do? Or
honestly, I would have. I'm not blowing smoke up anybody's ass here, but seeing you as much as I was able to see you,
and that was fun.
That was very fun. The get together. It was a harried kind of 2 weeks, and a lot went on, but. Christmas like didn't get set up the way that it typically would. There was just all kinds of weird stuff, and so it was just nice to get together and Jason's dinner and whatever and have you there and Mr. and the Wilk You know? So it was just, it was really nice to have people around that that felt good to have around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would say that that was this year my favorite part of the whole holidays in 2 weeks.
That's very nice.
Yeah, very true.
I think mine was having, like I had said before, the fun that we had with Palmer. I didn't fully unplug from work and volunteer activities, but more than I ever do. You know, mm-hmm. I was like not checking my email every hour, you know, and I was like turning it off. And I started this is so random that happened over the break, but I'm so pleased. I started plugging my phone in the kitchen at night. I used to take it in and plug it in right next to my bed, and Kelly and I both, and we like had the phones constantly as we went to bed, as we woke up. And so it's just a lot nicer now to fall asleep and just be in our bedroom with each other instead of like Facebook and everything else that's happening. So that was very small, but kind of unplugging, enjoying time with Palmer. When we were in Colorado, I skied really fucking well.
Nice.
Like, skied well, and I felt great, and I love it. I took one big jump that was bigger than I bit off a bigger jump than I could chew, and I fell. I didn't fall. I landed, and I freaked, and I, like, leaned way too far back, and I hit my head. Ta-da!
Brouhaha!
I know some nice doctors in a hospital in Colorado.
Yes, you do. Right about where I was located.
Right about where you were,
and
yes.
My helmet that I always wear flew actually off my head, and it was kind of a good moment. It was kind of like a thank God for helmet moment. Okay. You know, I was totally uninjured.
Ask Schumacher about
I did. I watched it roll away, but I thank fucking God it was my helmet, not my goddamn head.
Yeah.
And a little kid helped me out. It was, which was, you know, it's humbling when a little kid is like, and a little kid like tosses your helmet. I'm like, thanks, little dude. But I was gutsy enough to take a bigger jump than normal. I had a lot of fun. So it was nice. We were all in Colorado with my family. Everyone was healthy and sober. I mean, not sober, but not using heroin, so that was good.
Right.
And by sober, I mean
narcotic free.
Right. Degrees of success.
Thank you.
Congratulations to your brother. That's fantastic.
I've got a lot of time under his belt. He's close to 2 years. Yeah, he's close to 2 years.
Fantastic.
So it was very cool. But that was it. Very, very. It was just a really nice time with the fam.
Good.
Before I go into mine, a little late getting here with us tonight, but hello, Canada.
Hi, Canada.
Hopefully you're having a lovely Canada.
That's probably not right.
Blame Canada.
Yeah, but hey.
To the national anthem for the United States. Oh. Just going to kind of throw that out. Oh, Canada to our national anthem does not work.
No, doesn't.
I was thinking more, oh, Christmas trees.
That's kind of where I was going. Oh, Canada. Okay. That's good.
Because of the Buffalo Sabres, almost every member of my family can sing the Canadian national anthem.
That's awesome. Really.
More reasons to hate fucking hockey.
Go Canada.
Sorry, Canada.
A.
For reasons that I've said before, like my mom is very much like her mom, and I'm becoming more like my mother. Meaning,
you have a vagina.
My grandmother.
Beefy.
No, we're not going to
beefy.
That's my mom's mom really liked being home. My mother is very much in that she likes being home. Unless she has a reason to go somewhere. If she has a reason to be out and go, she's fine. As long as I'm taking her with me, pretty much. Otherwise, she doesn't want to. And I'm totally getting to be that way, and that's fine. Unless I have a reason or a function to go to, I really enjoy being here. And for this past couple of weeks, with, like you said, the renovation of the shop and just the cleaning out of a lot of stuff, like my dressing room and just a lot of things, it's just been very therapeutic. I put on great tunes and I just put, you know, that's on automatic. No commercials were involved. It was fortunately a very quiet time for me. Like Katie was saying, you know, emails really in that part of the year, it really emails diminished because everybody else got other things on their mind, holidays, parties, yada, yada, yada. So it was really nice just to kind of pretty much just check out for a couple of weeks and not have to do stuff. There were some things that I did. Obviously, there were some renovations within here in the studio I did and some other things that I did have to accomplish. But it was nice just to really check out and not have that. Sure. There was I only had a couple of times aside from Christmas Day, hung out with mom on the day after New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
She ran some errands with me and was at Stacy's for a while with me. But that was, it was all nice just to have a few of those things and not be inundated with a ton of different things. I actually bailed on a couple events that normally I'm part of on for these holidays, because everybody knows I don't really get, I'm not excited about the holidays as everybody else. Not like,
no,
not like Palmer is, who still believes in the Easter rabbit or whatever the hell.
There
Rapunzel.
Isn't an Easter rabbit.
It's white, though.
Whatever.
Just make sure it's white.
White rabbit, yes.
White rabbit.
Other than that, no, it was just, I enjoy, and the funny thing is, I enjoy being alone so much, I really am questioning more and more if anybody threatens to come into my life to jeopardize this, how that's going to work. Because I'm like, no. Yeah. I'm starting to wonder.
You're going to need to go home.
Yeah. Do you leave at some point?
Yeah.
Because I sleep alone in that room.
I'm going to need to see your rent agreement and or mortgage.
And all the rooms at this inn are full.
Yeah,
so we're good. Yes.
And that it's properly paid in full each and every
month.
Can I have a FICA score? You can always live separately.
I'll accept a copy of the receipt as proof that you have somewhere else to go.
You can always live separately.
Yes.
Or so I've heard.
Yeah, no, I recommend it highly.
Yeah, unless you have to rebuild
I've
our
already
house.
Said, like, we can have sex, but then you got to go find your own bedroom. Like, get the fuck out.
You can't sleep here.
And now all bedrooms
in
your house
I want you back tomorrow
full.
Morning for another BJ, but just like in the middle of the night.
Exactly.
The sleeping part, peace.
I'll blow you while the coffee's going, and it's a Verissimo, so it's like 35 seconds, you know what I mean? So you better get to it.
Let's hope it's quick.
Think of somebody pretty.
you got about a minute.
Mine was just, I mean, talking of good mental health, like, this was working literally 47 hours of overtime in 1 week, and then visitor from Renee to Harrison to meeting up with Donnie and getting to know him, and my friend Nate came into town. Straight No Chaser was fantastic.
Wonderful.
Concerts and things and going to bars and, like, trying to do all these different things. And everything was just easy. There was not one minute that was hard. Like, Harrison's plane was going to be late. All right, then I'll cook something that takes a couple of hours, and it'll all be done. And there's a bunch of people here that nobody cares about eating at 11:30 at night.
We didn't. We did fine.
Yeah, and it was everything was just with a great ease, which I really liked. And, like, the longer the week went on, I'm like, just sliding into stuff, like, everything, you know, just get it done, and just realizing that a lot of the people in my life are in the same place of, like, the one day there was a competition as to what I was going to do on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm getting up at 4. Whoever calls first, that's where I'm going.
Okay.
Second person, you got to meet us.
There you go. I like that.
That's where
like
you're going.
Yeah.
But whoever calls first, that's who I'm hanging out with, and the second person just has to meet us.
I love that.
And I can't do anything about it.
But I made the rule.
Yeah.
Well, we've done it. We have managed to get through our first show of 2014. Thank you for joining us, whether you are at home, at play, Australia, Spain, Malaysia, the U.S., Canada, Australia.
Yowza.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank
it's a
you.
Great kickoff.
Thank you.
And I thank you all for coming back and joining in this madness we do every Tuesday night from 7 to 10 Arizona time.
Get in the chat room.
Please join us in the chat room. We will see you again next Tuesday. Who knows what we'll be eating or drinking, but you be sure to join us. And we'll leave you with one parting glance. We will.
See you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.